The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Now,
he gives the ball. No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too!
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium.
We do not suck.
We are. Why do you say that? That was just an open.
The guy just said we suck again.
Yeah, no, no.
We do not suck again. First of all, when did we suck?
Are you feeling your oats today, young Andy Hart?
No, I'm just, we do not suck.
No, I think this, we've been talking all morning because we've been getting all these emails and things from people who are listening all over the place. And, we have a pretty big audience. We do.
We're kind of a big deal.
When did the team does not suck turn into we're just going to pat ourselves on the
think,
back?
What I don't
we
think,
don't do that enough. Maybe.
I don't think people realize in this organization or
not internally
or in the media that people that talk about the media how many people listen to this show, particularly the people that critique the media. The guys that want to be in the media that can't be, so they talk about the media.
Your guy?
Who is he talking about again?
Who are you talking about?
Like, any of the guys like Chad Finn, or they don't pay attention to this show, but they should. Because our numbers.
I'm not sure I want them to pay attention.
Well, probably it would end up bad for us.
We do not want some of the things we say in the Globe.
But I just think that when you're factoring in what our fans paying attention to, you need to factor in this show for Patriots fans.
I definitely think we influence the sentiment among fans.
Yeah.
Whether it be draft stuff when we start picking one guy to pump up, whether it be, players like Hightower or, we start to criticize guys. I think we can fuel fires in Patriot Nation. I do think that is possible.
Okay. I just want to get one piece of business out of the way. Shout out to Michael Ringley, his girlfriend.
Say it.
Asked us to do that for him. He's a huge fan. He's out of Joppa, Maryland. And his girlfriend, Lahia, asked us to mention him.
He
would get a kick out of it.
Hi, Mike.
Michael, what's up?
Happy birthday. Again, Merry Christmas, whatever it is.
He's a guy in Maryland that listens to us so much. I mean, his girlfriend doesn't listen to us, but her boyfriend.
Again, probably a good thing.
Her boyfriend listens to us so much, and she knows about it, that she thought this would be cool if we. If we mentioned Michael Ringley's name.
Why do I know Joppa, Maryland?
I don't know.
I feel like that's been in the news in the last year. Did they have a shooting there?
I don't know.
That's nice.
I didn't say he did it. No, he obviously
didn't
get shot.
About him. Why do I know
Michael,
that?
Call.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Or email.
We are interactive radio. We like everybody, or we'll make fun of you, but we'll still interact with you.
Yeah. So I just thought.
I think there's a lot of people like that, though, that listen to us all the time. Whether it's live or with the podcast, and they don't write in, they don't call in.
And that's the same with sports radio, too. The majority, the vast majority.
The people who call are a very small percentage.
Less than 1%, they say.
Right. So
And I like those guys. I mean, the people that, that call and they participate, I love those guys too.
Right.
You know, we need all of them, and we need all the people like Michael who are just supporting us
right.
by listening.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. Paul and I had an epic fight, according to Chris Ferreira, yesterday. I don't think it was epic.
It was fun. It was
and Paul won.
It was another fun argument.
Based on my not being here and then reading just the subject line of the emails later as I was deleting them,
yeah.
you had an early bit of momentum,
right.
and then he knocked you out late based on the emails as they came in.
Well,
Paul's right at the end.
A lot of people said Paul's right, but then it was like a different subject. You know, so
they're still saying Paul's right.
And you know why
I don't
they
care
do.
About the
but
subject.
But you know why they do that.
Because
they because they get confused during the argument too, just because Fred changes it all the time.
Well,
I will give you credit though. Apparently, there was a poll on Boston.com, and 70% of Patriots fans said the season is over because of the injury.
Okay,
it's not going to go where it could have, should have been, or whatever.
That's interesting.
Oh, I need to see the parameters.
Yeah, I don't really know him.
The parameters. That was it.
No,
he's
going
to argue with a poll.
I know.
No, I mean, was it black and white?
You can fight with anything.
No.
Animate, inanimate, woman, man.
I'm not fighting with the poll.
I need to see it.
I'm asking, was it black and white?
Now,
the
when
season?
I say that, you guys make fun of me.
Well, that's what he just said.
Well,
he just started the whole thing by giving you credit for it.
You said it and kept looking down at the emails telling us you were going to read all these emails, except you never read any emails that said the season was over. Yeah. Every email you read the
right,
other day was,
show,
was
right.
this poll black and white? The season is over.
It was color.
Can you answer the question, please?
I don't know. I was told it. I didn't actually visualize
See?
It.
See? You guys make fun of me, but we don't really have the parameters to what the question
strippers,
was.
How
look
the,
it up.
How
Boston.com poll.
Because
70%
if,
season's
if
over.
If the question is, can they win the Super Bowl now? I'm not surprised that 70% would say
right.
no.
Right. To say the season's over.
Is a different thing to me.
Yeah. And that's what that's what I would have been talking about had I been proven correct.
And there's not that many people,
show.
I think, that.
And I would be surprised that 70% of Patriots fans would say, yes, the season is over. Yeah. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to they don't have any chance to win a game in the playoffs.
Now
if you're going to say they don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be surprised to see 70% on a poll like that say, no, they don't.
Yeah.
The problem I have is the people that don't think it's over. The two major arguments are, well, everybody else sucks too.
Well, that's
and there's something special going on in New England. All these late victories. None of those are actual tangible reasons why you think your team should or could win.
Well, and that's what when Fred and I started.
You're going with like a Fred Kirsch feeling, a dream.
That's what it all comes down to. And it escalated too because I went from here to sunshine.com.
And it was cloudy.
And I was cloudy. And they were, you know, I shouldn't say they because Tony's always miserable, but Felger was Mr. Sunshine
well,
yesterday.
Well, obviously, he doesn't think Gronk makes a difference. He doesn't think there's any difference without Gronk.
And I'm going to say what he said to me when I said that to him. Don't be like Andy Hart and try to put words in my mouth. But we started getting into it, and I was on the negative side because he was just so irrational about it. He was, Fred, I do have to apologize to you, and I know I do this all the time, but when I hear real other homers, you're not anywhere near as bad. You're not. I call you a homer, but there's a lot of guys that are way worse than you.
But you know what part of that is? He deals with us all the time, and we kind of force him to evaluate his homerism. If he were alone to his own
devices,
he would be more.
With Felger, I would be much more hard on him than you are.
Well, I'm just trying to get a job.
Yeah, but you guys
so
are totally
to
unprofessional.
I try to give him.
Remember the days in here? That
that
doesn't work on real radio. Somebody would have been fired. FCC.
I'm just trying to get a job out of it, though.
I mean, you guys got really personal really quickly. That really escalated.
No, he does.
But that's what it comes
down
to.
But yeah, then you fired back.
Right.
You don't bite your tongue.
No.
And you can't do that at, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the hub.
But then we laugh about it.
But
no, I know, but other people might not.
But what Andy said, that's what it all comes down to. And I'm like, I said, okay, so why do I feel so good about the team's chances? Why haven't my thoughts changed? And we talk about football stuff. Well, defensively, they're so banged up, they're not going to be able to win 13-10 like they did earlier in the year. Our whole defense argument from yesterday. And, I'm talking about offense. Can they center a passing game around a guy like Shane Vereen? So, long story short, Mike's response is exactly what Andy said. Well, who scares you? I go, it's not about who I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of any team. I just don't think this team is equipped now to win 3 games in a row to win a Super Bowl.
When what you're hanging your hat on to win them is, well, they suck more.
Right.
They're weaker. They're worse.
So it doesn't, and then he starts, it's just a total rip fest on Cincinnati. Marvin Lewis. And he's just killing Cincinnati. What are they like in a big game? Well, how many big games have they been in? Two? They're 0-2. Andy Dalton is 0-2 in the playoffs.
Marvin Lewis 0 for his life in the playoffs.
So, and I just said, so basically, all of your optimism is based on the fact that you think that the other team won't play up to its capabilities. And that's where the argument sort of ended. And that's how we moved on. I'm like, and he's like, you're right. I go, so you don't think the Patriots are better than those teams. You just don't think that those teams will play up to their capabilities when it counts because they'll choke. Okay. If that's what you're basing it on, all right. I can't argue with you on that. Mm-hmm. How do I know how they're going to play? Maybe they will choke. But I just look at it now without Gronkowski. With Gronkowski, I think the Patriots can go out there and exploit some of those teams.
Right.
Without him, I'm not sure how you do it.
They don't have the matchup that they had with Gronkowski. All right, we're going to get into all of that.
I'm getting into the gift, and it's phenomenal.
There was a gift sent to us by Larry, and I'm not sure who the last name is, but thank you, Larry, for the
great cards,
the
too,
funny
by the
cards.
Way. The personal cards were really
that,
a nice touch.
What is that, toffee? What is it? Peanut butter crunch?
No, it's white chocolate, caramel, nuts covered.
Not surprisingly, Andy just has the whole thing right in front of him.
He just opens the tin and just starts diving
in. The only thing
in.
Missing is his bib.
Phenomenal.
All right. Well,
have some.
Larry, I'm sure you're listening. Thank you so much for
that. Thank you, Larry. Very good.
Real good stuff.
All right. You ever hear that Jerry Remy drop they always play on the Sports Hub? Larry? He's talking about Larry Lucchino.
Patriots news. Nate Solder, now we know why he wasn't at practice with a concussion.
But he was back at practice today.
He's back at practice today. He
really
was out yesterday. So when he...
That's huge news.
I think so. Now, I'm being serious.
Now with Nate Solder,
I thought you were making fun of me.
Now that might have happened home and
not
hitting, you know, that may not have happened in the game. He could have hit his head on a doorway or something.
Sure.
With
sure.
Nate Solder, you know.
Sure.
So,
my nephew actually tripped in class, hit his head on his desk, and was hospitalized.
Who was the guy that got a concussion by hitting his head on the door? Someone that happened
Feltrick,
to somebody.
Fab
Mello, not Ohio. Fab Mello, Syracuse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Fab Mello last year, he hit his head in the doorway.
We used to have
that actually happens.
We used to have a guy on the team. It was a white lineman.
Never
I forget his
me.
Name. He was like set. He was like 6'9". I forget. He rarely played, but back in the days on the plane, you didn't have the TV in the back of the seat. It was hanging down. Every trip, he would hit his head on the TV.
I've seen a number of guys do that though.
That was Scott Rayburg.
Rayburg, you're right. How did you know that, Paul?
I just know stuff.
It's unbelievable.
If it's of any value, I don't know it, but I know stuff like that.
Wasn't that true? Every game, he would hit his head on the TV. So
apparently wasn't real bright.
So how Solder got the concussion, I'm not sure, but he was listed with a concussion last night.
I didn't go back to the
tape. By the way, that report came out very late for some reason.
I also didn't understand how it came out because I was reading the injuries on Twitter before I actually had the emailed injury report.
Yeah, I was because I wanted to get it. I did a hit for Comcast and the PFW show last night. And I wanted to get that info in case she asked me about that. And
who's she?
Abby Chin.
You like her?
She's nice girl. But you know, didn't come until like eight at night or something like
I'm
that.
So dirty.
Again.
No, it came around 6:30.
Yeah, I don't know how you missed it. It was definitely there by the time you were taping that thing.
Yeah, it was like 20 past 6 because it was just before I did my hit on Udo Sports tonight.
You guys were big on Comcast last night, huh?
Yeah, we dominated.
I'm just laughing at his use of the term hit. I had a hit last night.
Well, I really did have a hit. You had a set.
Yes, I was on the show.
You had
with the Indies buddy, Kirk Minahan.
Oh, boy, that must have been fun.
Yeah, I actually find him funny.
I do too.
I think if I worked with him every day, he'd probably make fun of me all the time, and I maybe wouldn't find him as funny. But I like the way he makes fun of other people.
I make fun of you all the time, and you find me funny.
I hate you.
Oh, you think Solder? And I haven't gone back. I don't even know if anybody's. He's on the field goal block a lot of times. You think he could have got concussed on the 58-yard attempt?
Possibly, yeah.
Because he played like every play. He didn't have an apparent concussion at any point during the game. So I wonder if it was that. You know, opposed to a doorway.
I think he hit his head on a doorway. Anyway, Dobson was also not at practice and still listed with the, what is it, a foot?
Just Dobson was not at practice.
Yeah.
Dobson was the only guy not at practice today.
Yeah,
today.
It's a foot.
Yeah.
So we'll put our hopes in Boyce and Tompkins to be the rookies. That
yeah,
are
that's
step.
Not looking good for him. Still not. This is 3 weeks now without practicing.
You like this stuff?
Yeah, that was good.
What do you think the cracker base is? It almost looks like it's just crackers. Like a saltine or something, then covered in all this good, yummy, sweet stuff.
I don't know. It is good,
you
yummy,
don't like
sweet
white
stuff,
chocolate?
Though.
Oh, it's delicious.
Well, you went with the dark.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I can't help it. I really am the most immature person on the planet.
It's amazing. He can find a way to make absolutely anything inappropriate. Anything.
And he doesn't even realize it when he's saying it. Then a second later, he goes, oh, I just said something funny.
That's the brilliance of my comedic talent.
All right.
As everybody's chewing.
I know.
Can't you guys, like, shut your mics off when you're chewing?
Fans don't like that.
What?
Really?
What?
You're the guy who's always holding in burps over there from your Pepsis. You're always
chewing
your calzone.
No, he's the guy who does that.
Paul's very quiet. When he's eating, he turns his
mic off and I check out. He puts
his face in the food and he's gone.
Right. I check out for 5 minutes.
What do you got, Kevin?
Speaking of inappropriate comments, Andy, I cut this up. This is Big Al for you, okay?
Gronk probably had these dudes nailing him since he was in 11th grade.
No question.
No question.
I love Rick at the end. No question.
He was playing bumper butts with Fred.
What?
Nothing. I couldn't turn my mic on because I was chewing.
Oh. I thought you were distressed, Fred. You scared the crap out of me. I thought you were having a heart attack in the chair.
That hit with Abby Chen did him in.
All right. But it was funny. One of our UK Patriots fans is down in Fort Lauderdale for the game, getting ready for the game, and he was in a sports bar watching Comcast and saw me and tweeted it out.
I would have thought it was funny, you and Abby Chin. Is she taller than you?
Well, I think we're even because she had like 4-inch heels on. Very stilettos.
Did you like those, Fred?
Well, you know.
Why are you just saying like that?
Careful, your wife was with you, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why you weren't staring at her boobies.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Do we have any other Patriots news we need to get to? How are you feeling about this Dolphins game?
They worked out a pass rusher.
Tough game.
Oh, they worked out a Canadian Football League pass rusher.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our last Canadian import didn't work so well, so we'll go to another one.
Yeah. Although, one of them has worked out reasonably well for Dallas.
Has it?
I don't know.
A historically bad defense?
I said I don't know. He made the team, all right.
Law. He had a bunch of sacks, and they worked him out. I don't know. Is this the new in thing we're going to be doing? Is this the new undrafted rookie free agent? They always have one. Now we'll always have a Canadian guy we'll bring in.
Well, if you're looking for a guy ready to play, at least you know that they've been working out and, you know, I don't know.
And Deion Branch worked out for the Colts.
Yes.
Which I found absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Wowed me.
Well, one thing you do know about Branch is he keeps himself in shape.
Yeah, I just wouldn't think he'd say yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he kind of was resigned to the fact that he was done.
Well, I think it's probably flattering at this stage, you know, that someone would call him and maybe he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
You know, but I am surprised by that, too. But that just shows you that Reggie Wayne injury, you know, and I understand that, you know, everybody's dealing with him. But that particular player, I think it's like Gronk. I think that particular player meant so much for that offense.
Yeah.
That it's hard.
Especially
for them
with
to
a young
replicate.
Quarterback like that. Yeah. You know. All right. Let's go to the phones. We do have a lot of good emails.
Did you lose the word for phone?
No, I was wondering. I was debating whether or not we should go to emails because there's a lot of good reaction to yesterday's show. But then I don't know if people want
to. Yeah,
get
we don't
into
have to
that.
Revisit it. I mean, we can, you know, let them yell at me because I had clearly the unpopular side of the argument.
But you won. Once the results were
I
finally
think the
tabulated.
Fact that I even got one person to say Paul was right based on what I was arguing was somewhat surprising.
I think I could eat this stuff till I vomit. It's very, very like.
Yeah, Larry.
Why don't you take a shot?
Call in or write in and take credit for sending us this.
And
stuff.
Let us know, really, if you made it, you bought it, your wife made it, your girlfriend.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Mike is in Oregon. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
All right, so I called in a few minutes ago, and like the first thing I hear when I get on is, happy birthday. And I was like, oh, did I call in the wrong show or what's going on? Because you were saying happy birthday to another Michael, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not you.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend doesn't love you enough to email us to ask us to say hello.
Yeah, no, she doesn't.
Oh.
So I just finished the finals this week, so I'm feeling good.
Nice. And,
congratulations.
How'd you do?
Well, I did better than all my midterms. I can say that for a fact.
Okay. Is that a good thing, or is that just slightly better than crap?
It's in between there.
Are you wasting your parents' money is the question.
No,
what's
I'm
what's that?
Not.
A subject Fred is an expert on.
I'm getting better. But so me and a lot of other chemistry students were really wondering, do we want to do this for the next 4 years?
Nope.
And I was thinking of other jobs that I could think myself doing. And when I thought of, like, the best job around, I thought of the guys from PFW. And so my question was, how did you guys start off your career path? Like, did you know you wanted to be in the sports media, or did it just happen?
I actually did exactly what you did. I was an engineer for a year and a short period of time at Tufts till I hit chemistry, was struggling horrifically, and realized I just didn't want to be an engineer and deal with all this chemistry crap for the rest of my life. And
you could be a mechanical engineer.
But you still have to take chemistry and all the crap.
Oh.
The chemistry is what knocked me out of engineering at Tufts. Physics, I was fine. All the other stuff,
really?
The math. Chemistry, I don't get chemistry. It just, yeah. it's a disconnect in my brain. I think because you can't see it, it's so, you know, non-visual, whatever it was. But chemistry knocked me out of engineering. I took a semester off, became an English major, and here I am now.
Yeah. And Paul went to BU.
You're doing
exactly what you thought you would do.
I am. I went to.
What he thought it would be, but
no, I wrote. I wrote for my high school paper, and I wrote, and I went to college. I majored in journalism. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a sports writer.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I wanted to do. I had a teacher, around eighth, ninth grade. I think it might have been freshman year, that told me I had the ability to write, and that kind of stuck with me. And I always wanted to do something involved in sports because obviously that's my passion.
I think my advice to anyone that knows the industry that they want to be willing at first to do anything you have to do to be in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than take a better job in an industry you're not interested in, be willing to take a lesser job in the industry you're willing to be in.
And we see that all the time.
Yeah.
Like all these guys that have elevated from like film room guy to
right.
NBA head coach or
I had a Bachelor of Fine Arts in publishing. I knew I wanted to be in publishing, and I literally worked in the mail room at a publishing company stuffing envelopes. That was my first full time.
Cool.
You know, just do that. You know, if that's what you really love, you know, and it's better than taking another job in another industry and hoping at some point you can switch over.
But if you want to have career stability and good money, stick with your chemistry.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I do got to say, you guys are a big deal. Don't question it.
Well, you know, it's good to get the confirmation sometimes.
I don't think we question it. I just question whether anybody else knows we're a big deal.
No.
Right. If we could somehow get the hundreds and thousands of people that listen to us every day to let people know in this building that they should be recognizing
okay.
the radio
bowing
empire,
down as we walk through
they'll
the
miss
hall.
Us when we're gone, Paul.
The radio empire that Fred has created.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that caller from Baton Rouge yesterday, the one that said they got in trouble for listening to your show during finals.
Right.
Andy, you missed that call. Michael is talking about a guy yesterday who said, you know, you guys don't know. You're very big in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, PFW in progress, lowering GPAs across America.
I was actually late to three of my classes because I called in. It was great.
That's funny.
I also find it funny that we appear to be relatively big with, like, the college crowd.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I pretend I'm young, I'm not. And you two certainly aren't. It's kind of weird that we're big with them.
We're just immature.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, we are young at heart.
I understand all the sexual jokes you guys make, like right when Andy makes them.
It's good that you understand them.
Connect us.
Well, they're not exactly sophisticated jokes.
Oh, sometimes I'm sophisticated in my humor.
No, never.
Do you have a girlfriend,
don't,
Michael?
Don't confuse warped with sophistication.
Yes, I do.
Is she hot?
Yeah, she's very hot.
Is she a student where you are?
She's 1 year younger than me, so she's a senior in high school.
Oh, you like him young, huh?
He said
one year younger,
Andy. All right. Thanks for calling in, Mike.
No problem. Have a great show, guys.
Okay.
Andy, enjoy the dessert.
All right. Congratulations on the final exams. Let's go.
Whoa.
What?
Let's not congratulate him yet. He said only that he did better than his midterms.
If you feel you did, you probably did. You knew. You knew.
Oh, yeah. You always knew whether you were, as Bill would put it, competitive or not.
Yeah. The only ones that, I guessed was math, because I guessed on math. So I never really knew how I did until I got
back.
Yeah,
I was always fine with math, and chemistry was just the one thing. That was the hole in my swing.
Yeah. Sean in Vancouver. Hey, Sean.
Hey, I'm actually in South Florida right now.
Okay, well, it says Vancouver.
I thought I smelled something.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I'm from Vancouver, but I flew in yesterday.
What a difference that is. Vancouver is such a clean, natural place, and Florida stinks.
You flew in yesterday?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Are your arms tired?
I knew it.
Yeah, that's that old joke. Yeah, the old joke.
Yeah.
I got some rest tonight. Last night.
So. Are you there for the game?
Yeah, I'll be at the game on Sunday.
Oh, great.
So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And you know what's impressed me the most so far this season about the Patriots is their resilience. They just have this incredible ability to, no matter what the circumstances are, just not give up and come back.
Well, and not only that, the resilience, but also the ability to do it. They do make the big plays when they have to. And, you know, it's one thing to want to do it, but they are have shown the ability to be able to do it.
And do you remember when Brady said, I believe it was week one, I don't know, he said something like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I know we're going to fight to the end. And I, at the time, it hit me so strange that somebody was willing to say that after a game.
Yep.
And he was dead on. Whatever he felt about the team, the unit, the guys around him, he was dead on.
And that's not something he says every
year. No, and it struck me, and it now strikes me that he was so dead on and right. He had it. He had a feel for his team very early on.
It's a good question if we can get to him. You know, what was it that you saw at that time that made you say it? You know?
Well, for me, it's like you said, it's the fact that they are doing it. They're getting it done, even no matter who they lost. I mean, in that first game, they lost Amendola and they lost Vereen, and, you know, Gronk was already out. They relied on the defense for 3 weeks, and then the defense is out. They relied on the offense. I don't know what they're going to rely on this Sunday. I'm looking forward to finding out. It's a competitive game, and the Dolphins, look fairly strong. So I'm curious to see how the Patriots are going to pull it out once again.
Yeah, it's we don't know. It's very intriguing because there is no, you know, this is what they're going to do, and they just do it, and there's no telling how this game will unfold, really.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Sean.
Have a good time at the game. Let's go down south of the border. Victor is in Ecuador. Hey, Victor.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Listen, I have two questions for you guys. First of all, I just wanted the people to stop being so afraid of, the Denver Panthers, you know. I believe LeBron James said it best when, you know, like, not one, not two, not three, but 7-1 and done. Peyton Manning has done
actually
one
eight
and done seven times. And
eight, I believe.
I don't really think people should be afraid of Denver. But anyways, getting to the questions. My first question is, I see a lot of people saying that we should go to the power running game and all that because of the passing game kind of struggle. But I think the running game, with the loss of Gronk, is going to struggle maybe even more. Because if you go with the two tight ends, Ted and Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
We're going to just
it's a good point
with our base defense and everything.
It is a very good point. I mean, you can't overlook Gronk's role in the running game.
Both as a blocker and as a attention getter.
Decoy, yeah. I mean, it's a tell.
Yeah.
You know, when Gronk's in the game, you can do anything. And if you're going to load up and try to run the ball, you're not going to be worried about, you know, Matthew Mulligan in the passing game. He might slip out as a screen like he did last week, but he's not going to get down the seam for you, you know, four or five times a game like Gronk
does.
Plus,
we get back to that question. Is this a pass-built offensive line that isn't necessarily designed to be doing that, lining up in two tights, and we're just going to blow you off the ball? Does Ryan Wendell, does Dan Conley, does even Nate Solder get exposed a little bit as not the biggest, stoutest of guys if other teams are just saying we're going to take the runaway?
Yeah. It's a very good point, Victor. What was your other question?
Okay, and then my second question, and I don't know if you guys can talk about this or not, but if you're drunk and to some extent we'll balance it, and knowing with all the injuries that he's had, and he's at a crossroads, and to me, he's at a crossroads in his career. So if you're him, do you know, like, you know what, this offseason and my recovery process, I'm going to take every PED, every HGH known to man, and I'm going to recover fast and come back stronger than ever. And maybe if you're Bill Belichick, you know, you don't just, like, say it, you know, say, go ahead, do it, Gronk. So you just give him the nod, like, yeah, what you
got to
do, something like that.
Well, I if I'm Bill Belichick, I don't want to know about it. I really don't want to know about it. If I'm Gronk, I see what you're saying. Another good point, Victor.
It's like the athletic director in Blue Chips.
Yeah, it's
I don't
out there.
Know.
I mean, we
Bob
are
Cousy.
Naive if we don't think that these guys, at the least, are using HGH to recover from injuries.
But the problem with the theory is we're naive to think that guys aren't already using it. So it's
right.
Not necessarily. He may have used it in the past, for all we know. And I'm not just circling out him. I'm saying every NFL player, it's not like when they get to an injury, now you assume they're going to use some performance enhancer.
Right.
They may have already been using it for years.
Right.
I would have no problem with it. I mean, if he chooses to go down that road, I'm consistent. I want big, bad Gronk back. I want all athletes to be at their best. Use it.
Would you trade Gronk for a first-round pick?
right now?
Ooh. Yep. I mean, obviously the off season.
I'd think about it.
I would too.
I wouldn't.
And I love Gronk more than
anybody.
Oh,
I would think about it, but I wouldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't think you're going to get a player as good as Gronk.
Where's
in the first
the pick?
Round.
Top half, bottom half?
Where do you want it to be?
Well, who is the team that's
half.
Offering it to you?
Yeah. Top half.
Yeah, I'd have to really seriously think about that, Paul, because, yeah. I mean,
that
I
was one of the things we talked about yesterday with the Sunshine Boys.
Yeah.
I just find it unlikely that you're going to get a better player. Now, I know that you might not get a player
well,
that
better.
I'm thinking of because of the ACL. It's a significant injury. I don't just flippantly dismiss ACLs because a lot of guys have come back from them, because I don't think a lot of guys have, quote-unquote, come back from them and been the same. You know, there's guys that continue to play, and then there's guys like Adrian Peterson that excelled.
And Welker.
You know, despite that.
And Welker.
Welker, yeah, to a lesser extent. But
it's always good to push Welker down.
I don't think Welker was great the first year back.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
Yeah. I'm just saying long term.
Yeah.
Gronk will not be Gronk next year. He will be Rob Gronkowski whenever he gets back
right.
out there.
And maybe,
no doubt.
If that's the case, maybe I that's why I said I would have to think about it. Maybe
because
I just get Rob Gronkowski, maybe I'll take a first-round pick.
You also have to weigh in at the end of 15 that money decision
right.
that you're going to have to make.
Well, that's
with
that's
$10
million,
it. And it's not just the $10 million, the salaries, which you can obviously cut, but the salaries that are added on at the end are like $8 million, $9
now,
million, high salaries.
If you were another team, would you do that? Would you give the Patriots a first round
Hell
pick
no.
for Gronk?
It depends. Depends where you are.
How can you do that? Like, I mean, Bill Belichick could do that.
A
Bill Belichick could trade a first round
Richardson.
Pick for an injured guy. He could roll the dice. I don't see how a coach in a normal setting could trade a first round pick for an injured guy who's been injured
okay.
a lot.
How about this? Let me throw one out at you. And I haven't really thought about it, so this could be a flaw in this, but. Sean Payton, if you're New Orleans, you have him and Jimmy Graham. Does that not make your offense
Sean
unstoppable?
Sean Payton could do it. I mean, he's
well,
one
I'm,
of the
I'm
three
thinking
or
of a coach,
four that could do it.
A coach that can trade for an injured player without repercussion and would fit. I mean, you have an offense that he has, you know, the quote-unquote move tight end in Graham, and now you want a more traditional, versatile tight end.
That's,
now you have the two best tight ends in football.
You have
with
potentially
a quarterback.
Though,
with a quarterback
very expensive offense there.
I don't care about that.
There's another EX word, explosive.
Yeah.
Dominant.
I don't
know. Cap can always be ridiculous.
The cap can always
be
worked out.
Cap is crap.
Yeah, right.
He's one of the few, but I think very few, and I think very few that would align with I'd want a high, like a top half of the first round pick.
I'm proud
if
of
I'm
myself.
The Patriots.
I just came up with that one.
He would be a good one. Plus, you know, he drinks a little bit. You know he's going to make a deal on a Saturday night or something.
Lahia, by the way,
yeah.
has emailed and wanted to thank us. For Fred, for your shout out. It was perfect, and she is listening, has not mentioned it to her boyfriend, and she would like to buy you guys a drink or dinner when you guys are in Baltimore. So perhaps you and Eric.
Not sure I'll be able to, but thank you for the offer.
Andy and I do not travel, thankfully, especially at Christmas time. So unfortunately, we will not be able to take you up on the offer. Very nice of you, though.
Peter writes in, he says, New England is just 7-6 in 13 trips to South Beach during the Bill Belichick
yep.
era. Just wanted to point that out, that Sunday might be harder than we think.
You know what's amazing about that? 7-6 seems like it's bad because that's a bad number for
right.
the Patriots. But
anywhere else.
But you go on your top division rival. Now, I know that the Jets are the arch rival, but more often than not, Miami has been better than the Jets during this run. I mean, it's probably about even, but I look at Miami as being a very tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally for this team, there's been no place tougher to play than Miami. And you look at it, 7-6, that stinks. Well, every other head coach in New England history is like 3-11 in Miami.
Right. And just in general, most teams on the road against their competitive rival having a winning record is good,
mm-hmm.
you know, over an extended period of time. But it's going to be a dog.
I don't think it's going to be tougher than you think.
I think it's going to be
a tough game.
Yeah.
To pull a Patriots fan type argument, the only thing that lends me to believe this could be an easy victory is the whole, you know, Rams when Troy Brown had to play corner, that everybody's doubting them, and for some reason they stick it to everybody and then go blow the Dolphins out. But
I'm sticking with the other team theory. The only way this isn't tough is if the other team wets itself.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to.
I don't think
that's who
either.
The Dolphins are. They're pretty good.
They've shown some pretty good
toughness.
As much
as Bill, I roll my eyes, they're good in all three phases. They make plays in all three phases.
Yeah, I don't think they're a very
competitive
good team,
on defense,
but they are pretty tough.
And they're competitive. They just, They, yeah. And they also have the front to give you problems. You know, we've always talked about the front can give, well, they have a couple good pass rushers. They have a couple big tackles in the middle. They have the front that could give you problems, especially right. if your O-line is, I don't know what it is.
They were built, minus the quarterback, they were built to beat Tom Brady. That's how they always geared their defense. You know, how can we get at the quarterback?
And I think offensively they can give you problems because, you know, who's sure. to say Mike Wallace doesn't run away from Aqib right. Talib and put a big play in?
Right.
Are we getting food, by the way?
No. It was so funny. I go in there and he goes, they're not getting food today? And he goes, maybe they're just, what was the word you use? I don't think we can say that.
I haven't even thought about
testicles deep in the
balls
gift.
Deep in that park stuff.
I do feel a little nauseous. I think I ate too much of it.
Aaron in Long Island says he'd do the trade in a second.
Really?
My prediction, you're never going to get Gronk back for more than a few games at a time forever. It's the way he plays. You're either happy with that or you trade him.
It's interesting. I'm glad it sparked some
It's a ballsy debate. Trade on both sides.
You know, Mike and Tony were talking about it yesterday, and I just thought it was interesting because I didn't think there wasn't like a knee-jerk response. Usually when you get one, oh, yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I think there's a good conversation to be had.
Because the health is the unknown, and no one knows. So that the best debates are when there's no fact that really sways it, and the health is so unknown because if you're Bill Belichick, I could argue it's the right trade. I think you're probably going to cut him after 15. You're not going to pay the bonus. You got a first-round pick. You had to do it a year earlier, whatever. But from the other side, well, what if this is the last injury? What right. if he remark it? And now you're talking about 6 years later, he's got, I don't know, 75 receiving touchdowns, and you're like, wow, Belichick gave that away in the prime of his career?
But you got that first-round pick for him that you flipped into a third and a second and two-thirds.
Nah. We got so Jake Beckett and Ron Brace out of it.
Aren't you thinking kind of the same thoughts when you decide to sign Amendola? Like, okay, he had all those injuries, but maybe that's past, you know, that's behind him now, you know?
Well, yeah, and
but
Bill
it's not
went
anywhere
with,
near the talented of the player, though.
No, but
like the high side
I'm
of Danny Amendola.
You're not giving up a first round pick for Amendola, but you are signing him to some good money. So you have to think the same thing.
And the Gronk thing isn't just injuries; it's weird injuries and dangerous injuries in the back. Two back injuries. You know that's as concerning as almost any kind of. Only concussions would I put higher than back injuries.
I mean, when a guy rams his helmet into your back. That's going to damage a vertebrae.
Or you know? When you get flipped over and land on your head, which we've seen multiple times from him, including after he tore his ACL.
Right.
It's what I've argued all along. He's not going to have a long, productive run because you can't play. People are right when they say that. You know, Bob Sanders, guy that size can't play that way for long.
Right.
Defensive player of the year who didn't play that way for long.
Right. He was a flash.
You know, sometimes the common thought is the common thought for a reason because it's right.
Right.
It's obvious.
That's, you know, cliches are generally born out of truth.
Jeremy in Oregon, I've listened to you guys for years, and you always have a great show. Keep up the good work. It's scary how similar Fred and I are. When Fred makes a point on the show, I often find myself thinking, wow, that's a great point. I completely agree, only to have this point absolutely poo-pooed by Paul and Andy 2 seconds later. Then I'm left there thinking, man, I'd be getting criticized just like Fred because I would have said the same thing. A good example of how similar Fred and I are, after the pass interference call on Sunday, I said out loud, good makeup call for the Panthers game, and they still owe us a call for the Jets. Then on Tuesday, I laughed out loud when Fred started off the show by saying the refs made up for the Panthers call and still owed us one. Of course, this opinion was immediately blasted by Paul and Andy. Anyway, keep up the good work. I'd like to email and call more frequently, but I often work the days you guys are on the air. Final prediction for the game on Sunday, Patriots 23, Finns 20. That'll be a tough game.
I think me and Andy were pretty adamant that they got screwed in Carolina with that call, by the way.
The only thing I didn't agree with was that they still owe us one. I thought they are now even on the pass interferences in the end zone at the end of the game.
But as far as
in fact, I wrote that in the paper. Zebra giveth and zebra.
I don't look at the Jets one.
But in terms of bad calls that cost you a game, they still owe us one.
Yeah, I don't look at it that way.
The Jets,
because I also don't see that as a bad call.
I don't look at the Jets one.
Strange call, timing call,
whatever it is,
but not a bad call. Whatever. These were bad calls. Well, the rule was not called as it should be.
To me, it was a travesty in Carolina. That was a travesty of a situation. Not only
the Raiders still believe they're owed a game because of the tuck rule. Good call, right call, weird call. Okay, at the time. I say the same thing about this Jets thing, okay? So it's not just Patriots fans that feel that way. It's any team that gets screwed like that feels that way.
No, I know, but you're ignoring the calls that you got. And I'm sure the Raider fans are as well.
Who was the guy who said? One of the Browns DBs said, you know, we're in New England. We know we're not going to get the calls.
Yeah, we know we're not going to get the calls. We're in New England.
I put that in just for Paul. Another Notre Dame Saturday here at Gillette Stadium.
But I think that, you know, and I think people know me well enough. My bashing of the officials is not resigned to Homerism or anti-Homerism. It's just, in general, wide-swept, I hate officiating.
Right.
I think that don't you think that's a deep sort of psychological issue?
They asked me yesterday, yeah. Andy, you laugh at this.
Authority, leadership,
yeah,
something.
Paul doesn't like
that. What is the one biggest problem you have with today's NFL?
The officials.
Well, that was my answer. The officiating. It affects the games. It affects the outcomes of the games.
That's an interesting question. Who asked you that?
Felger.
Let's go back to the phones. Chris,
I have another one for you, too. Would you trade Stephen Ridley for Trent Richardson?
Yes.
No.
See, it's a good one.
Chris, you wouldn't?
No. Chris is at Boston University. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Chris?
I don't know if you remember. I'm the guy who called in about Josh Boyce a couple weeks ago.
I like Boyce.
But I first off have a question that might be a little more black and white. So obviously we've been dealing with a lot of injuries across the board. We've got a lot of guys on defense who are playing injured. Some guys on offense, too. I think Amendola, as you guys have said before, is that example of a guy who we all kind of agree right now for the rest of the season, what you see is what you get.
I think so.
Barring he's going to need rehab before next year and everything, and I think right now what's happening is any good that extra time is doing him right now, playing on Sundays, probably undoing, probably not helping him out. I'm wondering, do you categorize Tlaib as being in the same situation right now? Because I think Sunday, that first half, is probably the sharpest I think I've seen him play. So I'm wondering if maybe he is getting a little better. He was worn out by the end of the game last game.
I agree with the correlation between Amendola and Tlaib. I don't think Tlaib's going to get any better. Unless he sits out, and I don't think he's going to sit out. I think they need to play him.
Plus, he sat out a month. You can't give him a month,
yeah,
certainly.
I don't think he looked great Sunday, really, at any time of the game. I think that the difference on the plays that Gordon made, where Jason Campbell allowed him to catch it in the second half more frequently than he did in the first, we were all talking about how many times. We had a row, Chris, in front of us in the press box of Browns writers, and I lost track at about five. On plays where Campbell would drop back and somebody in front of us would say, he's wide open, just throw it. And he wasn't throwing the ball to Gordon, remember?
Right.
They kept on these crossing routes. There he is, just throw it. And Jason Campbell is sort of known as a guy who will check down, play it safe, not throw the ball down the field because he doesn't want to make the mistakes. And I think when he sort of just let it go in the second half, I think that you saw how many guys were open. But the secondary, to me, struggled on Sunday earlier than it looked like they were struggling. The run defense was pretty good Sunday. As a matter of fact, it was really good. But I thought the secondary struggled.
Thanks, Chris, from BU. Let's go to Joel in Atlanta. Hey, Joel.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up? What's for lunch today?
I had some pasta.
Oh, nice. Leftovers or fresh?
Leftovers.
Now, did that have gravy with it, as Paul would say?
Even his lunches are boring. Leftover
gravy.
Pasta.
Paul calls sauce gravy.
It's gravy.
Oh, well, then, yeah, I guess it would be some gravy on it. Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
All right, what do you got?
Well, I just wanted to say, to tell Chris, the last caller, no, we do not remember him from last week.
Joel feeling his oats a little bit.
Wow. Put your muscles away.
Wow.
But, no, I want all this trade process. About Gronk. I mean, yes, you know,
it's just a hypothetical.
I wouldn't do it, to be honest. Now, if he comes back next year and he's not the Gronk that we know him to be, then I say we do release him.
But now you won't get a first round pick.
Hey, you're not going to get it.
But that's fine. Because well, you know what Belichick, he's not going to use it anyway.
Come on.
You know, he doesn't in the first round.
Right. because Chandler Jones and Hightower weren't
first
round
picks. I'm with you on this, Fred. Even if he doesn't use the first round pick, doesn't mean he's not using it.
Right, of course. It's currency.
He might trade it for something else, but
right.
he's going to use it.
He can use it as kind of like bait or something. He'll bait teams to say, you know, hey, I'll give you a second round and a sixth rounder for that first rounder, or whatever the case might be. But I like what Paul was saying as far as with the trade for Richardson and Ridley. Now, that will be a good trade.
Right, because Richardson's really torn the league up.
I might want to reconsider if Joel agrees with me.
Richardson's nothing. He hasn't done anything.
No, it's a problem for a problem trade. It's not a elite trade.
And I think you might look at Richardson as a guy who might fit better in this offense, as a guy who can get out of the backfield and catch the ball a little bit.
Maybe.
And I'm taking a chance on the home run. I'm taking the chance that when he fits in here in passing sets,
possibly.
Sort of what I think the Colts were banking on, that he's coming to a team with a quarterback, Reggie Wayne, a passing offense.
I wouldn't do it because I don't think, I think Richardson is just not
I would think about it. I would.
I just, my point is a week ago or a week and a half ago, people were saying, do we cut Ridley after the season?
And now you can get a run.
And now I can trade for the third overall pick, who is 2 years into the league. It's garbage for garbage. It's question for question.
This is one
but
where,
there's an upside.
This is one where I would go to my pro scouts and I'd say, what is Richardson's problem? Tell me why he's not producing.
Oh, yeah.
And find that out. And then I'd make my decision.
The reason why he's not producing is because, one, I mean, they traded him in midseason. I mean,
he's a running back, though. Come on.
He's a running back who hasn't produced yet.
And he's had he's had the balance of the season. They traded him in week three.
But just imagine if he was able, if he was given the offseason to learn the offense,
He's a running back.
And he wasn't exactly lighting it up in Cleveland in a year and a game.
If there's one skill position, that can come into the NFL and produce quickly, it's running back.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Fred. So why is it that when Belichick, he doesn't make any trade for any type of offensive player during the season?
Because
he only picks up players that was either with him during the offseason.
Because every year we go in with like six running backs. We don't need them.
Right. What I'm thinking about the running back position. I'm talking about any player.
Well, I'm talking about running back. You're talking about how it's hard to pick up a system in midseason, and that's why Trent Richardson hasn't produced. I disagree. I don't think it has to do with the system.
I think he'll be better next year. I think he's
maybe
a good running back.
I also think Belichick has picked up a lot of wide receivers midseason.
Thanks for the call, Joel. Again,
running backs.
Tell me why he's not, you know, I don't know enough. I need to talk to my pro scouts and say, tell me what's going on with him. You know, is it their line sucks? You know, whatever. I don't know enough. I liked him in college. He looked good.
Loved him. You know? I thought he was going to be an elite running back. Like Trent Rich. I mean, Adrian Peterson. He was going to be in that top three, four, five running backs in the league.
Right. So tell me what's going on with him. Is it mental?
I almost don't care. Mine is the bigger point of if you're sort of near the end of your rope with Ridley, you're getting something in return rather than just cutting him in the offseason.
Yeah. Mike's in Florida. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Listen, Joel in Atlanta wanted a nickname. I got one. Future call block.
Wow.
Wow. Listen, Joel hasn't made a lot of friends in Patriot Nation, PFW in Progress World.
Rub some the wrong way with that that plea to be noticed.
Hey, Fred, I need to get an argument with you. I am not a Jets fan, all right? 30-year-plus Pats fan, so no bandwagon jumper here. But I need to know, do you really believe your own SH bleep bleep? Or is it just a role you play?
What exactly are you talking about? Tell me.
Which bleep?
Yesterday's argument with Paul.
Tell me what that argument was.
Well, I don't care about that.
Now you're gonna say I don't believe something you don't even care about,
don't
even know what the argument was.
Why don't you let him talk?
I asked him a question. He won't answer.
Fred, I really didn't want to argue with you. I was just, you know, kidding kind of about that. But
I know, but, like,
argue with him.
Fred, you defend the Patriots no matter what. I mean, you cannot argue against the Patriots.
What's the argument, my friend?
The argument was Paul was saying that he thought they were going to be one and done with or without the injuries. Is that not correct, Paul?
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Yeah, but the part that he couldn't understand was that I think the chances have decreased of them winning. That was like, I don't understand.
Well, everybody agrees with that, Paul. That wasn't the argument.
But you didn't agree with me yesterday. You said, well, you already thought this, so you must think more of them.
There's no one in their right mind that thinks that they have as good a chance without Gronk. Nobody thinks that.
Right. But you're also not taking into account.
So now we're on the same page.
But, I think you're missing the fact that they needed miracles to beat crappy teams. They haven't won. They had maybe one quality win this year, which was really sloppy, and I think that was Denver.
Mike, let me ask you a question. I agree with that. I agree with that. Mike, do you think they would have needed those miracles if they had a healthy team? All these guys that are on IR, if they were in the game, would they have needed those miracles?
No.
Not as many.
Okay, thank you.
But they would have needed some of them.
Thank you.
If they were healthy, they would have been 10-3, okay? And that's where they are now.
If they were healthy, if they were healthy, would they have a better chance in the playoffs?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, Paul thinks that they would be one and done regardless.
But I think their chances of not being one and done were better.
Yeah, okay. Paul thinks they would be one and done regardless. And all I was saying is now that we've seen this team unfold without these guys, don't you go back and say, you know, had I known that, maybe I wouldn't think they'd be one and done in the playoffs in the beginning of the season. I think, yeah, this is a good, you know, now you know more about them. Now they're one and done without these guys. You know, I think it's logical to go back and say, hey, they were maybe a little bit better than I gave them credit for.
And all I asked you was, tell me the game you thought they were going to lose.
That's all I was saying.
And all I'm telling you is I don't have that feeling because I want to know the game that you thought they were going to lose, that they won.
Well,
and you can't come up with even a single one.
You yourself
said, why should my perception have changed when you can't come up with one game that you thought they were going to lose that they won?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Would they be a
better
team?
So why do I think more of them? I think they would be 10-3 with those players, and they're 10-3
without
them.
Because you yourself said it's how they're winning.
Exactly.
Right.
And I don't know why you think they were winning any better.
We've gotten to the point.
Right. I don't think they won any more impressively when they were healthy. Okay. That's my point.
Yeah, the problem is they were never healthy this year, Paul.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Okay, so Gronkowski was the only guy missing in week one.
Gronkowski was missing. Amendola was hurt right away. Shane Vereen was hurt right away.
They played in week one. They weren't impressive.
They were all hurt, Paul.
All played that
all
game,
year.
Fred.
They were all healthy. They were not
Gronkowski
healthy all
was
year.
Not healthy.
Right.
That's it.
And according to you, he makes a huge difference.
And I thought that Gronkowski's absence was going to lead them to be one and done in the playoffs.
They were never healthy. They were never healthy, and we never got to see what this team would be like. Yes,
once
Kevin.
Again, Fred has his built-in
excuse.
I was
just asking if Paul wanted me to order him food or no.
I would like food.
It's too late for me.
Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's already 1 o'clock.
All right. Forget about it. It's too late for Fred.
He's
going to take his ball and go home.
Let's go to Chester in Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good show brewing today. hey, you know, with all this brutal bad news that we've experienced this last week, one thing I'm really grateful for is there haven't been a single peep about Tim Tebow coming back at tight end. Jeez, that's one thing I was thinking about this morning.
Not until you brought it up.
Yeah, now you had a
nice job, Chester.
Here comes Allen, Georgia.
One of the first times I've laughed out loud to myself in quite some time. But, you know, guys, this game against the Fish this weekend is going to be a close one. I mean, even though our win and loss record is right about 500, I mean, a lot of those wins have been down to the wire, and one of which I remember we were down 21-0 until we finally woke up. I've always said the team's got to start out fast, furious, with intensity, and you know we haven't seen that in weeks. I mean, this is the key to this game. We got to get out. We got to start firing early. You know, I'm hanging my hat, guys, on Vereen. I think this guy's a superstar in the making. I know you guys all kind of agree with me, but we're reaching to find out where we're hanging our hat this year. And, you know, we really got to put Vereen to work and really showcase this dude. On the defensive side, you know, we're talking about, you know, our secondary being weak. I firmly believe it's the lack of pass rush. You know, pass rush was horrible last week. I think that just translates straight in. And maybe that was the focus on just coming back to basics on run defense because we were so horrible. But, this game, we've really got to expose Miami, get to the quarterback fast. I want to see Chandler Jones out there with 2+ sacks. And hopefully that'll translate to the secondary getting right a little bit. This is a pivotal game for me, guys, going into the home stretch. I think we really got to make a statement here and shore up this division. Go Pats, squish the Fish, and I'm over and out.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Chester.
I agree with the Chandler Jones thing, and you remember McKinney just owned him.
Yeah.
In the first one. It was the first game that he was here for he was on the Dolphins after the trade.
So do they move Jones around a little bit this game, knowing that?
I don't know, but I've been... He needs to have an impact.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys you can, should be counting on.
Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
I got a beef with Paul.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, Paul, okay. The Dolphins stink, and they haven't beaten anybody.
I said they're not that good. I don't think they stink.
No,
you said they were terrible. Those are the words.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm sure I did then. If that's what I said, that's what I said. I don't think they're very good. I stand by that. Stank's probably strong. I don't think they're very good.
So
I think when you lose at home to Buffalo, you're not very good.
Yeah, I mean, I
think when you lose to a winless Tampa Bay, you're not very good.
Yeah, I would.
But maybe stink is a strong word. Maybe I'll just say they're not very good.
So the Patriots could
mediocre
stink.
At best.
They haven't played the Bills at home
yet. I think the problem with the Dolphins is they're inconsistent. You know, they have the makings of a good team, but they just can't put it together on a consistent
basis. And they
have
a young quarterback, and they
right.
went through yeah. the biggest scandal of the NFL this season.
I think they have a chance to be on the rise. I think they're definitely improving. I think a lot of the moves that they got criticized for in the offseason last year are helping the team. I think that they are they've improved the talent level of the team with their linebackers that they signed, the cornerback that they signed, and Wallace, I think, has helped them. They had no wide receivers at all last year other than Hartline. So I think they're improved, but I just don't think they're very good.
So, but today you said that you thought that was the opposite of what you said yesterday. So, in other words, are you worried about this game? I mean,
am I worried about the game?
Worried because he thinks the
yes.
Patriots are horrible.
I'm worried.
Yes, that's the thing.
I'm worried about the game. Yeah.
I mean, I know that
Fred's not worried about the game. He just continues to say it's going to be a tough game every 5 seconds.
Right, right.
But
I'm not worried.
But I say I'm worried about the game, and it means I think everybody stinks.
Well, I'm worried about it because, you know, like you guys said, it's always tough down there, and with the exception of 07, which was the only time I went down there and absolutely blew doors, even the opener a couple of years ago, they put up a ton of yards on us. And I think it was Chad Henne.
Yep.
Like that huge Monday night game. And last year, if I'm not mistaken, the game that we played in there, that was also for the division, right? I mean, that's when we clinched when we played them.
It might have been. I can't remember, but that was a close game, too.
Yeah, and if you recall, that was, they had like that, I think it was like a 7 or 8 minute drive to end the game. And they iced it, and Ridley had like a couple of big runs, and it was like a 15 play drive. And, you know.
Roughing the punter in there somewhere?
Yeah. Yep. That's right. That's right. Yep. And I got him a first down. That was part of that drive. Yeah. So, you know, my whole thing is that, you know, like Chester said about getting out to fast starts, I think that just takes on an added importance on the road this week.
Yeah.
That's huge. And, you know, you were able to do it on the road against Houston because, you know, Houston stinks. This isn't. I guess you could call Miami an average team by today's NFL standards, or an average team.
Okay.
And
I think
if you do it,
I'll soften my stance from yesterday. I'll call them average.
Yeah, I mean, I just think when you getting back,
because they are better than Cleveland and Houston.
Houston,
the two
absolutely.
Teams that you just played.
Yeah. So I think the fast start this week is paramount. You know, in other words, I mean, I'll take just not coming out like they're asleep for the first half. Mm. You know, that they actually show up. And one word to Joel of Atlanta, buddy. Okay, let me break it down for you, partner. You asked where I was when Bledsoe back in 2001 went down. You know where I was? On top of your mother.
Oh, jeez. Nice. Wow.
I'm sure it was going to be my
Christian. Going out with a bang.
That actually would have been better if he said on top of Andy's mom.
I thought that's where it was going. I was ready.
About Soldier.
Andy's off the hook for today.
Todd in Jacksonville says, I rewatched the Patriots-Browns replay. It looked like Soldier may have suffered the concussion in the third quarter. I believe it was on the drive Gronk got hurt. A few plays before Gronk's injury, Soldier gets hit in the head and then stumbles around a little. Wow. You're not supposed to be in the game when you're doing that. Someone's supposed to pull you out. Well, right?
I would assume.
Yeah. But
what is the status of, and I still don't know this, what is the status of this whole independent neurologist thing? Is there one on
they
the sideline?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
I think every game has one.
I had heard that, but I don't know, like, I haven't really seen it in action.
They have,
how it works,
if you look at every sideline now, they have that separate table under a cover.
Yeah.
And that's supposedly where they can not just look at, you know, injuries, but they can look at every play, because what happened in the past is, you know, one guy would get hurt and everyone's looking at him.
Right.
And meanwhile, somebody else is hurt. So now they can look at the whole thing and see, oh, here was the injury that
right.
they got hurt.
That was the whole Colt McCoy thing where somebody else was hurt.
Right.
And that's how he ended up
he
going back
it.
In.
Right, exactly.
But if Soldier doesn't say anything, then you're not just going to go up to every player and say, well, you need to do baseline testing for you.
If a fan notices it, if it's visible enough that he's stumbling around
But when you're rewatching the game and you're looking specifically for when a guy might have suffered a concussion, something that
you didn't really think anything of,
I don't think he was stumbling around like he was drunk.
I think he might have gotten hit and shook off the cobwebs a second.
I'd have to look at it. But to me, if there's somebody whose job it is to be looking for that kind of stuff, they should be watching the game a little bit differently than everybody else.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can see 22 guys and do or 11 guys and
yeah, it wasn't my fault.
One on... What?
What's that?
No, you always blame everything on me, so I was just defending.
This one wasn't your fault.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're blaming Nate Solder's concussion on you.
Pat,
maybe there should have been a replay of it so that the guy on the sideline could have seen it.
I'm sure you don't want that.
Pat New Hampshire says, I think Andy's onto something with Solder getting the concussion on the last play. Did you guys see him on the sound effects last night? He was mic'd up. He ran onto the field late for the last field goal. Then they showed him asking Mankins what happened. Then he was asking some lady on the field if the field goal was good or not. He had no clue whether they had won or not.
But either way, he could have been concussed.
Yeah, my guess is that he suffered something before.
Maybe he ran on the field late because he was concussed.
Yeah,
that's how I look at it.
Of course you do.
And another person.
Well, why is that negative? I don't think I just I find
you
it,
thought Gronk broke his arm 20 plays before he broke it. Remember that? I don't think he broke it on the PAT.
That's the same thing.
He always has doubts. He always sees some conspiracy or something.
Well, what's the conspiracy of a guy getting a concussion? I had no idea he had a concussion.
Well, because the insinuation would be they missed it and they allowed him to play a quarter and a half of football without catching it.
I just got finished saying I don't hold them responsible for that at all. If the guy doesn't say anything,
well, I do.
To me, there's a difference between what happened to Danny Amendola for the whole world to see. No one's going to miss that one.
I need to see the Solder thing because clearly there's something to see.
But that two different people thought two different plays. That's how clear it was.
Well, no, but this person watched Sound FX and is basing it on that. And by the way, because he's concussed on the final play, doesn't mean he wasn't concussed earlier.
Oh,
that's a result of that.
I thought the
person was going to say he jumped up to block the field goal and the right guard put his helmet under his chin.
I think for me, which I am always looking for conspiracy theories, this is the opposite of that to me. I hold the team in no way responsible.
Well, I don't hold the team. I hold this independent neurologist guy.
I hold him in no way responsible.
He's probably making $10,000 a game or something ridiculous to watch for concussions. And if a guy saw Nate Solder take a shot to the head and stumble around in the middle of the field, that guy should notice that. I'm sorry. That's what you're there for.
Matt writes from Berlin, Connecticut, to Paul's comment about 70% of the fans believing the Patriots' Super Bowl hopes are gone or never were. Those are probably the 70% of the fans that empty out of Gillette Stadium before the end of every game.
That's a Boston.com poll, by the way, not a Paul theory.
There are too many people.
I think Paul said it.
I don't want to take credit for that.
There are too many people that simply give up on this team when the Patriots have yet to give up on themselves. Have some optimism and believe. The fact that everyone else had such low expectations for the Patriots in the postseason will make it that much better if they succeed all the way to MetLife Stadium. Go Patriots.
Woo!
Matt in Berlin.
I had a funny one yesterday with my guy Darwin Zook.
Yes.
He said, and this is a hat and t-shirt game, and Patriots, I don't know the exact number, but they're like 10-0 or 11-1 in hat and t-shirt games. And I go,
well, they're 0-1-1 this year.
Aren't like AFC title games considered hat and t-shirt games? Aren't Super Bowls hat and t-shirt games? Because right there's a bunch of losses piling up quickly.
And I think, you know, it wasn't, I don't know. They had a chance to get him this week and it didn't work out. They're going to win the division. Does it matter if it's this week, next week?
They could win the division.
Wow. I'm willing to say they're going to win the division, Freddie.
I think they're in line for two dogfights.
Andy's not willing to go.
And I think if they lose these two, then it's all up in the, I don't know what's going on. Right. I don't know what's hitting the fan.
Well, I did mention yesterday, you know, the whole doomsday scenario. If Miami and Baltimore win out, then you have a winner-take-all game against Buffalo.
E.J. Manuel and Tom Brady.
I think there's a very good chance that even if the Patriots end up losing on Sunday, which I think is a chance, I'm not saying that Christian, set me straight. I'm not saying Miami can't win on Sunday.
What are you going to be saying tomorrow? I mean, you change it from yesterday already.
He made some good points, and he's Italian, so I take what he says.
Cape Cod Scott writes, and hey, Paul, love your segment with Felger and Maz each week and missed you last week. Just one thing, though. What the heck are you always looking at up and to the left slightly? I assume it's a monitor. Are you watching yourself or SportsCenter or what?
Now, last night I was watching the Bruins game.
It's very distracting. Love the segment, though. I also love your TV show. Whenever you or Andy are on Sports Tonight, and, of course, most of all, this podcast, I don't write often, but download everyone. You guys talk about the number of listeners occasionally. Can you tell us that actual hard number? I bet it's impressive.
Fred?
Well, the number of people that download it is about 100,000 per show. So, and speaking of ratings, PFW TV is the only one of the Thursday 3 block that I watch. How do your ratings stack up with the other two inferior shows? Thanks for all you do. Glad for your sake that the Baltimore game was flexed back to 4:30.
We blow current out of the water, and of late we've been trailing.
For most of the season, we were the top of the three, and now the last 3 weeks we've been number two, which has not sat well.
And
with
tailgate's
us.
Had a couple nice, real impressive numbers,
yeah.
And we've kind of been middling.
But we've been, you know, good.
We're competitive.
We're pretty consistent.
We're very
pretty
close.
Competitive.
You might be setting a record for phone calls today, too, at this rate.
Been unbelievable.
Track of those things?
Yeah, we were going to a break last night, and they were doing the promo for the football block, and then, you know, Tangway reads the three shows, and he says, Patriots Football Weekly, and I go, that's the best one. And Minahan just started cracking up.
Good.
And Tangway goes, I don't know, and they're running me out of town.
let's go to the phones, because Kevin wants us to.
Our bill's going to be ridiculous, Fred,
for
this
public
rate.
Consumption?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know if they're all 800 numbers, right? Can you tell when it comes in where it's from?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, they say where they are. All these are out of state.
Yeah, but they could be on their cell phone paying on their dime.
Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Tyrone, do you use the 855 number or the regular 508?
The 508. That's the only number I can remember.
Good.
Let's see.
So. I ain't want nobody to make no fun. I'm a real pig. I got to go back to work. But yesterday's show was entertaining. You know, I was just laughing out. But people think things like the fans would attack you guys if you guys make a comment like how they attacked John Rook for saying something about Brady to Traynor. You know, people take things so personal. You can't come on the show, give your honest opinion, and just opinion. Nobody should attack you personally. That's just my feeling. But anyway, Paul, I agree with you 100%.
Wow.
At the beginning of the season, the Patriots, beginning of the season, when Paul, you had made everybody when Bellator got in, traded and then Hernandez got his problem, Paul, you said, you know, Patriots will still go 12-4. Is anybody surprised? I agree with you right away. I'm not surprised of the Patriots going 12-4. I mean, 11-5, 12-4. Everybody should know that because that's what the team does. And offensively, I'm not upset. But it's on the defensive side where, you know, I disagree with Fred saying that, you know, the team wasn't that good on the defensive side. It's only, like last year. It, the only difference was the key to lead.
Big difference.
That was the only reason why they played better. I mean, Gerard can't make a play on Mayo.
Oh, please. Come on. Now you lost me.
No, I mean, just his opinion.
If someone disagrees with Fred, he gets all mad.
It's just
not. Notice that said he's been attacking the callers.
It has been. It's unlike Fred, too.
Gerard can't make a play, Mayo. Come on.
So it disagrees with your narrative.
But it's just not fact.
The media narrative.
We saw the difference when Mayo wasn't in the lineup. We saw the difference.
Really?
You know, I'm looking at last year when they played Baltimore. He didn't do nothing. I mean, in the AFC Championship game, I see the key to lead went out. It was dog dead from there. And that's the only difference is Tommy Kelly. You know, I don't know why the New England Patriots. Brian Billick said it when we played the Jets and Tom Brady was struggling or whatever. Brian Billick said on NFL Network, he don't know for the life of me why they don't put decent talent around Tom Brady. And that's what it all boiled down to. No pass rush. I mean, you can't win like that. But
wait,
like I said,
I mean, they drafted Chandler Jones. They said pass rush.
Cool.
No, I know,
he's
but he I think has been a disappointment. I think he played a terrible game on Sunday. I think Joe Thomas owned him. I think it's a little unfair to say they haven't put any talent around him. There were some circumstances this year, we all know, with Hernandez and with timing and Welker and injuries.
Huge. That's kind of why I felt the way I felt.
Even if it's Hernandez, Gronkowski, and Amendola, I'll stack that up against pretty much any offense.
Thanks.
With Brady.
Thanks,
Tyrone. I'll take my chances.
Thanks for the call.
But you didn't have two of the three, and the other guy got hurt, and it spiraled out of control. Can I weigh in on this little debate? Because I'm not even sure what the debate is. But I didn't think they were a championship caliber team to start the year. I thought they were going to be a 10-11 win team, win their division, and probably lose in the first round of the playoffs or at home in the playoffs somewhere there. That said, they were better at various points in various areas than I expected them to be. I'm not sure it all ever overlapped, but I disagree with Paul. If you give me a healthy team of everything I saw this year, you know, that's Aqib Talib in September, Rob Gronkowski from November, you give me Vince Wilfork and Gerard Mayo, they were a better team with all those things kind of at their best when I saw the different peaks.
Than you thought they
were.
That's all I was saying.
Now, but we never saw those all over.
But why do I have to say it? I don't understand that.
Well, that's when you have an argument, and that's what it's all about.
But again,
you don't have to.
But it's just like what Tyrone just said. You didn't agree with Tyrone, so you just yell at him.
You were the one yelling yesterday, not me.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't here. I don't know.
People thought you were going to like come over the
Andy,
microphone.
Can you just imagine that I was saying things yesterday that absolutely were pessimistic in terms of the Patriots, and as many people thought that I was on the right side of the argument.
I don't know. I wasn't here. It's hard for me to really speak on the topic. He certainly did get a lot of pro-Paul votes late in
and
the
I
email
wasn't,
circle.
We have a lot of negative listeners.
Certainly wasn't like, that's what I'm saying. That's what he does.
We have a lot of wrong people.
That's what he does. If you don't agree with
and
him,
Paul's
you're
the wrongest.
You're an idiot. If you don't agree with Fred, you're an idiot. That's basically what
no
the argument
with
was
that
yesterday.
Line of thinking. I generally take the same line.
You don't agree with Fred, so you're an idiot?
No. You guys don't agree with me, so you're idiots.
What?
I don't even know what he's talking about. Now I'm back with Fred. I'm cutting you loose.
See Shanahan yesterday?
Oh, my God. What a just bumbling, stumbling. Fred and I were talking about it.
Yeah. Speaking of wrongest, who's the wrongest in that situation?
Snyder.
Snyder?
Absolutely.
Okay, why?
They will never win anything as long as he is in charge.
That's been proven.
But I don't think you can prove a never.
Yeah. No.
But didn't he try to do what
It also
people...
hasn't been proven that they haven't won yet because of him,
right.
But that's okay.
But didn't he try to do what people say he doesn't do or didn't do? I mean, the whole idea of bringing Shanahan in was to bring in a football guy with full control, right?
And he meddles.
Right. Therein lies
the
problem.
So he doesn't let the guy do his job.
Yes, but I think they all suck, personally. I've turned on RG3 big time since that film thing. I'm done with him. I have no interest in him.
I don't think he's got it upstairs. I don't understand how a military brat became a coddled punani.
He's a diva.
Right.
Yeah.
And how did that happen, though? Like, don't
I,
you think
I
military
think he
brat
had it coming out of college? I
no, no, no. I agree
it because he's so articulate.
But how did a father in the military? You think of military raising people in a certain way, and you're not going to end up with that. But somehow you ended up with that—a coddled punani.
Yeah, I don't think he's got the mental makeup to be that type of leader.
I'd be done with him.
It's the stuff
I'd seriously consider Kirk Cousins as my quarterback, because to me the mental makeup is as important almost. Physically, he's more gifted. Even as a thrower, you cut his legs off.
There's not even
he's more gifted.
Comparison between the
but
skills.
But that's not the issue at hand here.
But I agree with
it's
you.
The,
it's
a conversation. Is he a head pace?
Now he did get screwed a little bit last year with the whole knee and putting him in that game. And
yeah, but that's irrelevant.
Out.
Take that all
not,
out.
That's not getting
Fred,
screwed.
I'm basing this on one, and admittedly, I don't know 100% fact that it's true, but the man cannot have his bad plays shown in front of the team.
That's ridiculous.
He is somehow above the rest of the team.
Right.
Left guard, you got beat for a sack. That's going to be shown. Cornerback, you gave up a touchdown. That's going to be shown.
Right.
But we don't show the quarterback.
Right.
It's the exact opposite. You should be the leader of, I'm one of you guys.
Yeah.
I make mistakes too.
It's on me. It's on me.
Exactly.
Yep.
As I've said in the past and will continue to say, Drew Bledsoe, you say that all the time. You know, it's my responsibility as a quarterback of this team. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. That's why my problem with him has nothing to do with ability.
No.
It's the mental makeup
and
to be a leader.
But that's more important.
I think that's more important than physical.
Absolutely.
There's guys with ability. Jeff Georges and guys that can throw the ball all over the field.
Fine looking ball downfield.
I'm being kind of serious. We're talking about crazy trades. If Kirk Cousins comes in and you might have a decision on your hand of where you're going at the quarterback
position.
Well,
it depends on if you think that RG3 can be fixed in that regard.
He can't. You can't fix heart. You can't fix soul.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
You don't think you can learn your maturity? You don't think you get more mature as you get older and you realize?
Oh, maturity.
But that's what he's missing. He's lacking the ability to sit there and say, sometimes it's my fault.
Yeah.
To me, that's what separated
Mark Sanchez didn't learn. Stop sucking so bad.
Well, are there guys that have?
I didn't,
that's the question.
Yeah, I didn't say that every guy learns maturity.
Right.
I said it is possible to learn what I think he lacks
and
right
he's
now.
He's probably going to have to be even more mature there. dealing with Snyder and whatever the circus is going to be around him.
Well, he's also
because that place
have
is
a lot
the
of
opposite of here. Here you have somehow an owner, a coach, and a quarterback who are miraculously on the same page when it comes to like negotiating the quarterback's contracts, everything. They are in step. Yep, I'm taking $9 million, not 20. All of that. There you have the exact opposite. They're on three different pages, and how they overlap is ridiculous.
Well, right? He's going to have a lot of pressure on him too, because when the next coach comes in next year, and he's going to realize that, you know, if it doesn't work out, this one's going to come on me.
Right.
You know, and this is why I say Snyder's the problem, because Snyder has empowered Griffin to act the way he does. You know, Shanahan told us that as many different ways as he could tell you yesterday. You know, Dan only cares about the quarterback and all of that stuff.
What kind of statement?
Well, the
he's
best
telling
one
you
was,
that he doesn't know anything about this team, but this is the guy he wanted.
Right.
And this is the guy he wants playing.
But
that's
one of
what
the quotes
telling.
Was... if I was trying to get fired, I'd ask Dan for his opinion or something.
And go on the opposite.
He was just taking blatant shots at the, like.
If I wanted to get fired, I wouldn't have asked him to make this move. I just would have made it.
Right.
Or I would have done, if he
I
had
wouldn't
said
have asked
no,
for his input.
I would have, yeah. Right. I would have just ignored it.
I just thought they were.
But to me, it was the number one thing that separated him and Luck coming out. And I remember, when we were at the combine, they were unbelievable, the two of them. And they went back to back and they were phenomenal. It was just, really, really interview 101, how you handle the combine. They were extremely impressive.
This and guy goes to a couple combines, and now he's the expert.
And I remember thinking to myself, man, that Luck is just so put together. I mean, he just says and does everything right, whereas I thought Griffin was very good. He's extremely well-spoken. He's very articulate. It was more about him. Luck was more about the team. It seemed to radiate
you could tell.
And now you watch him, he's such a goober. I mean,
I'm not going to say I could tell, because I don't remember thinking I could tell.
No,
this
I didn't. I'm not going to use
the only guy I remember saying I could tell about was Jay Cutler, when he stood up there and said I wasn't surrounded by a lot of talent.
I do remember you said that about Cutler. And
I'm
not,
out.
I'm not trying to use 20/20 hindsight on Griffin. I didn't think that wasn't a deal breaker to me. It's what I put Luck at one and Griffin at two for. That to me was the separate. I didn't think that Griffin's not going to be able to succeed because he's a selfish guy. I didn't look at it that way.
And he has succeeded to some degree.
He can play. There's no doubt about it. He's banged. Shanahan said it yesterday. He shouldn't have played early. They're sitting him out the last three games. They should have sat him out the first three.
Right.
And then maybe this whole season would have unfolded much differently for Washington, but he wasn't ready to play. He was too young to go into a season without having played anything in the preseason.
Right.
Tom Brady can do that. RG3, I'm sorry, in year two, you don't do that.
Yeah.
They needed to work him back in a little bit more slowly, and they didn't.
Let's go back to the phones, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andrew in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Grant. How are you doing?
Good.
What's up, yo?
I got a question, and I wanted to know, have you seen Tompkins and Dobson in practice today?
Tompkins was, Dobson was not.
Okay, so do you think Tompkins would be ready to go Sunday?
I'd say he's closer to be ready to go than being out. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That's
but I don't know. He's got a hip, and who knows what that means.
For Tlaib, it's going to be months and months of injuries.
You know? It's probably, Belichick's is day-to-day. I'm sure that's exactly what it is. And on Sunday morning, if it's not good, Colley will be playing.
Or Boyce.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking Boyce will play anyway.
I'm not thinking that
kick
so much.
Returns.
Well, yeah, kick returns. But I'm talking about on offense. He played a lot of offense.
Oh, yeah, but he'll be active, Boyce.
And I thought Bill gave him a less than glowing
he's not ready to keep any praise on him yet.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that was interesting. He focused a lot on, you know, his practice contributions, scout team, and some of the things like that. I'm still not sold that he doesn't struggle with the play ball.
He got one of the practice players of the week, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I believe that Bill thinks that Boyce should be further along than he probably
That's
is.
That's the tone I took from it.
Yeah. So, in other words, he's got high hopes for him, and he hasn't achieved them yet.
Right. And I think he could also be one of those players that annoys Bill, because there's a chance he comes in and catches, like, a 65-yard touchdown, and everybody's, putting him in Canton, and Bill's thinking,
he's rolling his eyes.
If only he did what he was supposed to on the other five plays, we might have something here.
Right.
I think there's probably a lot of that with him.
Yeah, back to what the other caller said about, the defense. I think he's alluding to Mayo. I like Mayo, but I don't believe he's that Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher in their prime as far as coverage-wise, like being that clutch player coming through, getting a few picks or a sack. Like, I just don't see him as that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not an impact player on that level. Right. He's a, whatever you want to be the difference between good versus very good versus elite, he's a step down from those types
he's
of guys.
He's very good.
He's very good.
Yeah.
And he's very good in the fit with Belichick and the defense and the scheme and what they ask of him, but he's not a game-changing, rally the troops and put the team on my back in the playoffs guy.
Right. And it just showed, now, believe me, in that Carolina game where Cam Newton was scrambling and he just made all of our guys look very slow and just out of position, I believe Mayo would have ran him down. And I've been a criticizer. Like, I just got completely upset at the play. And friends of mine are saying, oh, Cam Newton is a very athletic guy. But, okay, why is it that the Saints was playing him? You've seen the guy on the edge, I believe it was Smith, one of those guys just ran him down. I just hate how we don't have people on our,
yeah. Well, the Saints get another. The Panthers get another shot at the Saints coming up, and it'll be interesting to see what happens back in Carolina. I think it's really hard for offenses to play in that dome. That's a tough place to play. You know.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my
phone. Okay. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Quick Mayo note. I haven't seen it yet, but did you know that he has mayonnaise?
Yeah, he had something out from yesterday.
He has his own
last week.
Yeah. Like
what's
three
the brand that makes it?
I don't know. There's like three flavors.
Because
like
if
a
it's not Hellman's, it's crap.
I'm sure it's not Hellman's.
Do you believe? You agree with that, Paul? Hellman's is the only way to go for mayonnaise?
I don't know from mayonnaise.
You don't know from mayonnaise?
As you would say.
I don't use mayonnaise. I use Miracle Whip.
Well, Miracle Whip is not mayonnaise. It's
mayonnaise
a dressing.
Mayonnaise is awful. I know, but what's I use that? Miracle Whip.
I hate mayonnaise.
I hate mayonnaise.
You don't like
too.
Mayonnaise at all?
Oh, no. I feel like I'm sucking down like lard or something.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah,
or something.
Way,
well, it is kind of like smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah,
it's so bad.
It's
but mayonnaise gross. Is good.
But it's like
yeah, it is good.
It's I mean, almost it almost good. Reminds me of you know when you leave like
you
gravy.
Have tuna,
here?
You have mayonnaise. In it.
No, exactly. Miracle Whip.
And
it's like that gelatinous stuff. That's what I think of mayonnaise.
Like bacon grease.
Yeah, like hardened.
Why is Miracle Whip any better?
Oh, it's not like that. Yeah. It's more smooth.
It's different.
I'm with you, Fred.
It's more
smooth. They
and
taste
tangy.
A little. They have a little bit of a different
oh,
taste.
I don't like the taste of either.
Yeah.
No, Miracle.
I think Miracle is too sweet for me.
I like that. I think it's got a nice sweet tang to it.
These are honestly my favorite parts of the show.
And wait, Miracle Whip is salad dressing.
It's a dressing, yeah.
And
it's,
mayonnaise
but it's a spread
is a mayonnaise
as well,
right?
Yeah.
But I mean, Miracle Whip, if you get like the
mayonnaise
generic,
is a mayonnaise.
They call it salad dressing, don't they?
Well, there's all kinds of different
salads. No. It says, like, salad
Kraft
dressing.
And mayo
not, like, Russian. It says salad dressing, I think, on, like, if you bought the Stop and Shop version of Miracle Whip.
I don't know.
I didn't know they had that.
But I'm pretty sure it's made by a generic. Just like Gronk Flakes are made by some company. They're not made by Kellogg's. They're just a generic.
And they're not as good.
Oh, no.
I've never had Gronk Flakes.
They get soft. They're not as sweet.
Really?
Yeah. They don't
same
hold
thing
up
with
to the milk.
Flakes.
Yeah, my kids
well,
wanted,
I think they're the exact same thing.
I would never try those, but my kids wanted...
I
my
used
kids
to live
wanted,
on those, Paul.
My kids wanted to try the Gronk Flakes because they, you know, they love Gronk.
I'm a sucker. I'm going to try the
so
mayonnaise.
So I bought them. And I know it sounds silly, I mean, but they're not as good.
Oh, and you would know immediately. If we did like a blindfolded taste test, you would know immediately which was the Gronk Flakes and which was the Frosted.
It's kind of like, you know, my Miller Lite.
You know, if I was a player.
That's much closer.
If I was a player and somebody approached me, you know, to do a food product, I would want to make sure that it was really good.
Well,
it wasn't bad.
Right.
It just wasn't as good as Frosted Flakes.
I mean, you're talking
well,
about.
I would say it needs to be as good as what people consider the, you know, the best. Or else I'm not putting my name on it.
Sure you would.
No.
And so would I. I'd take the money in a heartbeat.
But I'll try the mayonnaise because they're flavored. I'll just for the gimmick, just to try it. I'll write about it first.
Yeah, so just, you know, just a little preemptive strike to any of you food companies out there that want to put my name on it. Better be good.
What product would you want your name on?
Anyone that would pay me.
You have financial troubles. You've been talking a lot about that kind of
well,
stuff.
I know, you also
you
talk
have,
about
you have Andy and I worried again.
You know? I'm in
every once in a while you worry us.
I'm playing hardball from now on. I've been too nice a guy over my
Fred,
career.
Are we going under?
What?
Are we going under?
I'm going
Fred's
under.
Radio empire is thriving, Kevin. Don't worry about it.
Dave's in Connecticut.
What
hey,
would
Dave?
You do if Paul and I left tomorrow?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Take me with you.
Guys,
what's up,
well,
Dave?
Let's talk about,
you can see Fred and Eric doing the show.
Cereal and mayonnaise. I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
Well, it's lunchtime. Go get something.
And we didn't get anything to eat
because
Fred decided it was too late.
Get flakes or something. I don't know. Well, guys, here's a question for you. Well, two questions, actually. You know, with the tight end situation, I'm kind of surprised that Belichick didn't kick the tires on Daniel Fells or even Jake Ballard again.
Jake Ballard's on Arizona. Ballard signed with Arizona. Yeah.
Daniel Fells remains the best unsigned tight end.
The last I knew, I shouldn't say that definitively. The last I knew he had signed with Arizona. I think he was still there, but – Fells, he's been out of the league all year. He's had several workouts and hasn't signed with anybody.
I understand that. And I know this is kind of like jumping the gun a little bit here, but where do you guys see our needs in the draft?
Fred, why don't you handle this?
I'm looking at, like, defensive line.
He starts to yell at people when they ask questions like this usually.
I mean, I know this is like, you know, just you know, way down the road. I'm just at this point, where do you see our draft heading?
If everybody was of equal value is the question. Everybody, you could have your pick of the best player, equal value. What position would I pick?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Like, when I think about it.
One position, what would I pick?
And they're all the
everybody's
same.
Everybody's equal.
Everybody's equal in terms of value.
Right.
I'm going to go with the pass rusher.
Still, yeah.
It's a great question.
Right, let's break it down for offense or defense.
Did I trade Gronk for
defense.
A one?
Defense, Paul says. Yeah, maybe you go for a tight end. I don't know.
And there's so many of them that are up in the air. Does Tlaib resign? Because if he doesn't resign, it's a corner. I need a best corner.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
But if Tlaib is back,
right. If Tlaib is gone, I need a corner.
Yep. Do I think Wilfork's career is over? Is he back?
Do I need a tackle?
Yeah. Like,
I'll get one of them
various
in the fourth round.
And then teams will average 4.7 yards per carry on you. Like,
I didn't say undrafted guys off of waivers.
Well,
I said fourth.
What's
round.
His name was fifth round, wasn't he? Jones, sixth round. I don't know where he was.
Sixth.
Yeah. Same thing.
And he wasn't that guy either.
What about a wide receiver?
He's not a run stuffing interior defensive lineman.
True. Wide receiver? No.
Well, you just drafted a couple. Do you not think they're good? Or you not?
Well,
I mean, you got three receivers. You've chosen
you
to play
on wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can. I'm not sure you can go real high on a receiver again.
I think cornerback is a big one.
It's where we've been. Cornerback, pass rusher.
A lot of people think the lines, both lines,
need
some help.
But if you're telling me there's a great safety, I would draft a great safety.
Yeah, I just don't want to. It's my bias against lines. I don't want to use a first-round pick.
You got to be strong in the middle, Paul.
All right, thanks, Dave, for that. I think Steven has summed up yesterday's show the best I've seen. Fred says, my dog has four legs. Paul says, so does a cat. Fred says, you're saying my dog is a cat? I think that sums it up.
I got a cat, by the way.
I'm really glad.
Yeah,
this,
you did.
This week.
With a shocking news.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife brought it home Tuesday.
And?
So far, so good.
What kind of cat is it?
It's just a little kitten.
What color is it?
It's gray.
Gray cat?
Yeah. TJ named
long
him Cole.
Long for a short.
I thought you were getting a dog.
No, we had talked about it a little bit.
Oh, he pussied out.
Get it, it's a cat.
Yeah, that's not really good. I told you this whole story. We had that whole discussion about the dog on the radio that day, and everybody's writing in, giving me great suggestions. So I go home and I talk to my wife about it. Now, I've been sort of the bad guy on this for years now.
You're going to get a Ragey and Ridge
back. I go home and I said, you know, I brought up the dog thing on the radio, and I got all kinds of really good feedback from all our listeners, and they're telling us all these different dogs that we can get that would make sense and wouldn't be too much work. And Beth looks at me and goes, I'm not getting a dog. And I'm like, oh, so it's okay that I've been the bad guy for 2 years, you know, as the kids have been begging us every day, and you keep saying, oh, Daddy doesn't want one.
Right.
But you don't want one either.
Right.
So we ended up getting a cat.
See, I hate cats.
Because it's
I don't hate cats. I like cats.
I have no problem with cats, and I have no real problem with dogs. I just don't want to do the work. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's why you get a cat.
And a cat is no
work.
Yeah, but I think
so
once you have the animal, then it's like one of your own. And
that's what happens to me is I get way too emotional.
Right, and you'll do the work.
I get way too emotional. Right. And
next thing you know, Paul's bringing it to Husky basketball games. Oh, yeah. Sitting in the seat next to him.
When I met Beth, she had a cat, and it was an adult cat at that point. And I had no use for pets, as you know. And when the cat got older and we had to put it down, I was a basket case. I don't want to go through that.
Right.
And
it's
I understand the whole thing. Like, oh, you know, you need the attachment and it's worth it. And
better to have loved and lost.
Right. You're right. I don't look at it rationally. I admit, but that sucked. I hated that.
Yeah, I do too. I don't.
And it wasn't even my cat.
You know, I put down a lab a couple years ago. I got another dog that eventually. It's not something you would look forward to.
But this little kitten,
very very difficult.
2 weeks old, Freddie. Just got to the shelter.
Just a little kitten.
We went and got it. Yeah, it's tiny.
Yeah.
It's like the size
that's
of
nice.
My
you
foot.
Adopted it from a rescue shelter.
Yeah.
Are you breastfeeding it like
Shut
Giselle?
Up.
He has like one of those pumps that he just wears in the chair.
But Miller Lite comes out.
I got no lunch,
though. Just amazing.
Yeah. I had some Miller Lights last night, Freddie.
Did you?
Yeah. We had a little Little League Baseball, quote unquote, coaches meeting.
Oh, God.
What's going on?
Let's go to Todd in Jacksonville. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just got a few things. First, I wanted to clear up that email I sent you about Solder, saying he stumped around. And it's not like he was stumbling all over the field that it was noticeable.
I knew what you meant,
Todd. Was, yeah, he kind of just, like, lost his balance. You know, for a big guy like that, and as balanced as he is, has to be. It seemed kind of weird. A few plays later, he got hit, and he was mic'd up, and the guy that hit him, he went back to him and said, hey, you know, this football game, you're going to get hit. But so it seemed all right, but that stuck out to me.
Okay. You're probably right. It probably happened at some point on a play like that that looked funny to you. But I think you look at something like that differently in retrospect when you know he suffered a concussion at some point as opposed to just the normal course of a game.
Right. As far as their playoff chances, I'm kind of a realist, I guess, bordering on pessimist. But, I mean, I can see them winning the division, but I don't see him going very far this year. It's just too many key players are hurt. And some of the guys that are key players that are still on the field, especially on defense, are just banged up. Mm. You know, Sleeves has done himself.
Can't argue with that. But they don't have to go far. If you secure the number two seed, you have to win one game. And then you're where everybody thought they'd be, playing Denver for the AFC title. And you may or may not win that. You may or may not have thought in the beginning of the year that they could win that matchup. So it's not really a long – it's not like you're a wild card team who has to go on the road. I got to win this game. I got to win the next game. You got to win one game at home, potentially.
Yeah, but, I mean, even with Gronk on the field and a pretty healthy offense, historically the past few years they've still struggled against those top defensive teams.
Right.
You know, at Baltimore. And I could see them, you know, not even with the defense, the status that it is right now, not really being able to stop anybody. You know, what are the chances, honestly, against better defensive teams like, say, Cincinnati? KC, I think their defense is a little overrated, but they're still a very good defense.
See, I think Kansas City would be a horrific matchup because you can't stop the run, and they have Jamal Charles, who I think not only can run at you, he can hit big plays in the run. You have a quarterback who's pretty fundamentally sound.
Not going to make mistakes.
Not going to make big mistakes to give you plays. And defensively, if they have Ali in Houston, I think you're in trouble protecting
Brady. He's not going to wet himself. Alex Smith has played in the playoffs before and had success in the playoffs.
I think Kansas City is a hellacious
matchup.
But
Kansas City's defense did take a hit with those two linemen that went out. And they were
but Ali's back.
He's back now?
He played the next game.
Damn.
You'd be afraid of Kansas City.
Now Houston, I think Houston's still.
He is, but he's supposed to be back. It was like a 3 week there. By the time you'd play them, he should be back.
Yeah, I mean the way Todd talked about that is probably a much more articulate way of trying to say what I was thinking yesterday.
That's never a good sign when the callers are telling you.
It's not that I don't think they have a chance, which is Fred, kind of the way you were painting me into the corner of what I said early
but
in
that's
the season.
Care about right now. I was just simply asking the question about assessment of the team at the beginning of the season, and do you go back and reassess that now? That's all I was saying.
Well, I mean, I think you always reassess. I just don't think much differently than I thought.
Okay.
Andy does.
Right, and so do I.
Doesn't make him wrong.
Sort of flippantly in a weird way. I feel better about the team if it has Gronkowski and Vereen and Tlaib. If I can take all the pieces when I saw them at their best, when they were performing,
right,
then I think the team is better than I thought it was constituted.
Sure. Mike in Puerto Rico. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, as far as the draft, keep an eye out for tight end. I think it's out of Texas Tech. I'm not 100% sure. Jace Amaro.
Keep an eye out. I know he's one of the more highly rated guys. I've heard, actually, someone on Facebook sent me something like that. I don't even know where he goes to school. I heard the name Amaro, but I don't know anything about him. I would be stunned if they take a tight end early, like really early, first round. Would you?
Second round.
Not totally stunned.
I would be.
I kind of feel like Fred when he listed all the different needs yesterday. I think you can talk yourself into taking almost anything,
right? Yeah,
even a quarterback.
I just can't talk myself into taking a tight end.
If I think Gronk is not going to be the same, and I'm not going to town with Matthew Mulligan.
You only have one now. You know?
What do you mean?
Tight end.
Gronk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most teams only have one good tight end.
Right. I don't need a quality one, that I need a first round talent for the next one.
And if you think Gronk is healthy, then you don't need a tight end.
That would be the argument against Sean Payton trading a first round pick for him. I already have a great tight end. I don't need to give a first round pick to get another great tight end. You know?
But like Gronk, if he's healthy, You need a lot of other things better because the starter, the healthy good guy at a lot of other positions isn't nearly as good as Gronk.
All right, thanks for the call,
yeah,
Mike.
I mean, that's, I mean, you never know how the draft unfolds. You might just be knocked over. Well, you're knocked over by it.
All right, we got to do picks. Scenario. It's Thursday. It doesn't feel like a Thursday, but it is, and there's no bye, so we got to
Where's Eric?
Use this time for the picks. Let's take a quick break, Kevin. We'll regroup, and when we come back, we'll go around the league with the picks.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
We all know PFW in Progress attracts, well, an eclectic audience.
Now, and I think it's different. Like, when I was at school, like, bullying for me, it was, you used to do these things called death runs. So my dormitories were like 40 people in a dormitory, and they basically used to line up with, like, clay pipes and hockey sticks and rugby boots. You didn't have to run down the middle and stuff like that.
Okay, go on.
There was one guy, I remember his name, Ollie Anlaw, who stood up and tried to sort of stand up to the bully. And they locked him in, like, a footlocker and threw him out the third floor window. So, we sort of stopped trying to stand up to people.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, but there was like a hedge below. But, you know, my school was like...
Oh, it was fine. There was a hedge below.
And embracing cultural diversity.
My school was like... I always say it was a lot like Harry Potter, but instead of magic, we had anal rape.
Think you can be the next great caller in the PFW in Progress family? Give it a shot by dialing 855-PATS-500. Just try to have something intelligent to bring to the table.
When Kevin was making that bit yesterday, he was like, should I leave that part in? I had to think about it. Yeah, go with it.
Reaction, Fred's the best part.
Yes. But what if somebody just now clicks on and, you know, it's the Patriots show. We're talking Patriots in the year.
My high school was like Harry Potter, but we had anal rape.
Without,
like,
they'll keep listening. Instead of magic.
They'll keep listening.
Like, and then a grown man being, oh!
I'm not sure where we're
crazy college kids.
All right, it's time to do the picks. No buys this week, so we got a full slate.
Not even Eric.
Full slate of 16 games. Paul, what is going
Order
on with the standings?
Has been restored.
Do the book.
After 14 weeks, I finally had a good week. 13-3. Fred was 11-5. Eric was 10-6. Andy was 9-7.
What happened?
Order was restored.
With the spread.
I've been hot lately.
I was 11-5. Fred was 10-6. Andy and Eric were 9-7.
What happened?
So, here are the season standings. Fred maintains his enormous lead, 139-68-1. I am back in second place at 127-80-1. Andy is next at 126-81-1. And then
Taking
Eric, 125-82-1. With the spread,
even more impressive, the lead that Fred has with the spread. 112, 87, and 9. Let's see. Andy is next. 102, 97, and 9. And then Eric at 99, 100, and 9. And I'm still fighting to get back to 500 and probably not going to make it. 94, 105, and 9.
Yeah, you're not going to make it. That's a tough
one. Well, if I can have another week like this week, I have a chance.
So is Eric just not coming today?
What are the chances of back-to-back 11 and 5s?
Not good.
Not good?
Eric's not coming by today? Good.
I don't know where Eric is.
All right. I will tell you right now, boys, lots of home dogs.
Yeah. There's
nine of them.
This is a tough week.
Nine home dogs this week.
If you do like a 13 and 3 this week like Paul did last week, that's an accomplishment, because I think there's a lot of tough matchups. We'll start with...
It meant nothing when I did it last week. If you do it this week, it means something.
it was obvious last week, except he didn't do it.
It starts with Thursday night, 8:25, really 8:32, San Diego at Denver.
Denver by 10.
No Wes Welker.
No Welker.
No problem. Luckily, they have like eight other guys with 10 touchdowns, so they'll be fine. What is it? Denver by what?
10. 10! 10! It's a 10!
I'll take Denver to win and cover.
I'm a little bit on the fence on the cover. I'm going to take Denver to win. I will lay the points, but first of all, San Diego, I think, can move the ball. I think Rivers has had a terrific season. And the Thursday night games, just no one plays well on Thursday night. For that reason, I'm going to lay the points and say that San Diego on the road doesn't play great and allows Denver to cover.
I'm going with Denver, but I am going to take those points. I've looked at this game for a couple of weeks now coming up, and I think San Diego makes it close. I'd be tempted to even pick them, but I can't go that far.
Could be a big win for the Pat Rots.
Yeah.
If San Diego's able to pull off the upset. Line for the number one seed.
Sunday at 1, Washington at Atlanta. Washington at Atlanta.
Atlanta by 6 against the Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I'll just take Atlanta to... I'll take Atlanta to win, but not cover. I'll take those points. That's an ugly football game.
It is.
I am going to take Atlanta based on the theory, and you guys all know it by now, so I will lay the points. I do think that Cousins will probably play well just as a change.
Solid.
Sometimes a change up there does a team well, but two crap teams, I'll take the home team.
For that reason, I'm picking Washington in this game. I just think that, you know.
I see what you're doing.
I think there's a little bit of pride. And I think Kirk Cousins might be playing for his next job, and I think he might play well. Chicago at Cleveland, Sunday at 1.
Cleveland. By 1.5.
Chicago at Cleveland. Did anybody watch the Bears-Cowboys game?
A little bit.
What happened? Because I watched early on, and Dallas just ran it right down their throats. Every play, they were just it was like they weren't even playing run defense, the Bears. And then... Did they stop doing that? I thought they had full control of that game. I thought they were going to be able to do that all day.
No, they can't play defense anymore.
Well, neither team could play defense.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Dallas got the opening kick, went right down and scored. Chicago got their kick and went right down and scored. That's all I saw.
Like, I've never seen anything as dominant as Chicago. I mean, it was like they were playing the Patriots. It was like six-yard run after six-yard run after six-yard run.
Another one of those quality NFL games. 40-something to 30-something or whatever, 40-28.
What's the game?
Chicago at Cleveland.
Well, we know that Cleveland won't run it down their throat. Because they can't. They're incapable. Who's playing?
You mean players?
Is Cutler playing?
No.
Okay.
I thought he was.
I think he's healthy. I think they're staying with McCown because he's played so well.
All right.
I'll stay with the hot hand, though. Then
I could be wrong on that.
I'll take the Bears.
Based on the way you guys looked at me, maybe I'm wrong on that.
The Marshall-Alshon Jeffrey duo, very impressive. And I will take that as the most impressive aspect of this game, and the Bears win.
I'm sticking with my theory. I'll take Cleveland. Two crap teams, I'll take the home team.
Wow. I think Chicago has more to play for here.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they win the game. Houston at Indianapolis, Sunday at 1. Houston at Indy.
Indy by 6.
I am going to take Indy to win, and I'm taking the points. I don't trust Indy right now.
Okay.
I will take Indy, and I will lay the points. I think that they... get the benefit of playing a team that has packed it in.
I'm with Paul. Sunday at 1, Buffalo at Jacksonville.
Ooh, here's a good one. Jacksonville is one of those aforementioned nine home dogs. They're getting 2.
I'll take Jacksonville. The running Jordan Todman's get it done.
I will also take Jacksonville, sticking with my tried and true theory.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jacksonville.
That has me lodged in last place. 28
games behind below first. Yeah.
What are you taking?
Jacksonville.
Unanimous. Big upset.
We're skipping over New England. Still Sunday at 1. Philadelphia at Minnesota.
Another home dog here. Vikings getting 4.5, Andy.
I'll take the Nick Foles. They're on the road.
Yep.
They have some of the best playmakers in the NFL right now with Jackson and McCoy. That offense is continuing to work. Foles is hot. Why not?
I agree. Yep. Philadelphia, better team.
Yep, the Nick Foles train. Choo-choo. Stay on it. Sunday at 1, Seattle at the Giants.
Sticking with our theme, Andy, the Giants are getting a certain amount of points. I'll let you know in a second when I find the game. Seven of them, as a matter of fact.
I won't be surprised if I'm wrong, but I'll take Seattle to win and cover because they're the better football team.
Justin Tuck doesn't want to be embarrassed, he says.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I will take Seattle to squeak out the win, but I will take the points. The Giants will keep it close. This is the kind of game the Giants get up for. Playing a good team at home, you know, they won't win because I just don't think they have it this year. But I think Seattle will have a tough time of it.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say Seattle, you know, barely wins it or even loses.
Cross-country, too.
Does this change
good
everybody's
stuff.
Attitude about Seattle?
No. I mean, they put up a fight last week on the road, but we all have these fears of Seattle on the road. It's why I've said they could roll through the NFC playoffs and then lay an egg in the Super Bowl.
Oh, but
that's attitude on Seattle is they're dominant at home and they're very pedestrian
on the
road.
Okay, so you haven't changed, but I think a lot of people have said, oh, they clearly are the best team. Road or home, they're going to be.
I don't think a lot of people say that.
A lot of people,
because every one of
their
road games is a dogfight. Okay. Every one of them.
I'm picking Seattle, and I'm going to. I think they'll cover. Sunday,
Eric, Seattle at the Giants. Seattle.
Eric's
by 7.
Here.
Eric just walked in.
I know they lost last
Ray
week,
Krumek.
Right? The Seahawks.
Yes, they did.
But I'm going with the Giants upset. Oh, I don't know why.
Wow.
I'm just feeling.
Seahawks on the road. That's fine.
Yeah. That's a hot sports take.
Eric, try some of the unnamed sweet stuff. Phenomenal.
Who gave it?
Larry, somebody. You got a card, too. He gave everybody Christmas cards.
Sunday at 1, San Francisco at Tampa Bay.
San Francisco by 5.5.
At Tampa Bay. Playing well lately. I will take San Francisco.
Eric? I will, too. They are starting to play a little bit better now. They were a little inconsistent earlier this year, but I think I'll take them.
Yeah, Tampa's played well lately as well, but I'm going to take San Francisco. I think this is a game they have to have. They're in a dogfight for the playoff spot, so they have to have this one.
Yep, San Francisco. Let's go to 405, New Jersey at Carolina.
New funny. Jersey at Carolina. Carolina by 11, biggest spread of the week.
I will take Carolina to bounce back and roll.
What are you laughing at, Eric?
The card that, who is it, Larry?
Why don't you read it?
That's funny. Wait, hold on. I'll give my pick for it. Who was it, a Carolina?
Carolina by 11
I'm
over
more
the Jets.
In the card than you.
Yes. Carolina to win and cover.
Yes is the answer.
Yes, I will as well. I'll lay the points.
Okay, read the card, Eric.
It's got two girls like at a fast food place.
Oh.
And one of them looks at the other and says, "Where's the Christmas party at?" The other one responds, "Don't end a sentence with a preposition."
That would be the error.
Right. And then the inside it says, "Where's the Christmas party at, bitch?" And she adds, "I am now going to block you from my Twitter account."
That would be Eric.
That's Eric.
I'll take Carolina, but I think the Jets beat the spread.
Wow.
I
didn't see that pick coming. I did not see that coming.
Kansas City at Oakland, Sunday 4:05.
Kansas City by foe.
KC at Oaktown.
Kansas City faux show.
Yeah, both ways, KC.
I'm with the boys.
John
Kansas
very
City.
Jocular
me
in
too.
Mm. These rumors of Nick Saban going to Texas have him in a good mood.
Now we go to 4:25.
Yeah, bad mood.
Green Bay at Dallas.
Do you want to win or do you want a good coach?
Green Bay at Dallas. Dallas by 6.5.
Doesn't happen.
No, no.
What?
Green Bay at Dallas. Dallas by 6.5.
Wow. 6.5.
Who playing quarterback?
Not Rodgers.
Not Rodgers. I will take Dallas.
Yes. To win
and
cover.
Even though, you know, I'm scared to hell anytime I pick Dallas.
Yeah, I hate it, but I have to pick them if Rodgers isn't going to play.
Me
if
too.
Rodgers were playing, I know the spread would be different, but I'd be taking
the up and
yes,
down
I'd
Cowboys
be taking Green Bay to win outright.
Would be considered a different game, Paul.
Yes.
New Orleans at St. Louis.
I like to throw those in there like Fred does. You know, if the game were in Carolina.
Yeah.
St. Louis. Who'd you say they were playing?
New Orleans.
You should give him one of those for the Patriots pick, Paul. If Wilfork, Mayo, and Gronkowski were playing, I'd be taking the Patriots.
New Orleans by 5.5.
Over who?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Oh, my defense of the year, Robert Quinning. It's in New Orleans?
St. Louis.
It's in St. Louis. It's another one of the 9 home dogs.
Dome. Da-dome,
what's up, home dog?
Dome.
Peace.
See what I did there?
I'll take the Saints.
Oscar
that
Lou,
defense,
up,
not
dog?
Enough to derail the Graham and Breeze show.
Moss, right?
Yeah. So New Orleans and you lay in the points?
How many points?
Five and a half.
Oh, yeah.
New Orleans times 2, bro.
I will take New Orleans as well. A road game, yes, but in a dome. So
Jay Cutler's starting versus the Browns.
He is starting.
According to
I'm going to keep my pick the way.
Sports.
I'm going to keep my pick the way it was. I think McCown was playing better than Jay Cutler.
He was. He had a little John Elway, a little helicopter touchdown run and everything. I'll stick with it.
I'm stick. What you are? You pick. Oh, you were going to change from Chicago because Cutler was playing. I see what you were doing.
Oh yeah.
Fred, do you have a pick for the
Jay
New Orleans
Cutler.
Game?
What's the number?
5.5. Thanks for paying attention.
Yeah, Fred, pay attention.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll stick with
San
New
Diego
Orleans.
At Denver.
I'll go with New Orleans. Sunday, 4:25. Arizona at Tennessee. Arizona at Tennessee.
Arizona by 2.5.
I'll go with Arizona. Win and cover.
It's kind of a tough one, but I agree with Andy. I'll take Arizona on the road both ways.
You know what this is a testament to?
What?
You know how everybody sort of says, oh, you're being so simplistic with the quarterback thing? This is the epitome of the team, Arizona, that all you need is a guy who's competent in some way to play quarterback, and you can be decent.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly they're a borderline playoff team with a team that couldn't get out of its own way last year. And Carson Palmer's not exactly Tom Brady.
He's not what Carson Palmer was when he was early in his career.
He's not lighting it up, but he's playing at an NFL level. He's playing competent quarterback, and for that reason, I'll take the Cardinals.
For that reason, I'm out.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I said that.
I will take the Cardinals as well. I think they're playing well, and they are one of the up-and-coming teams.
Fred, you would be Mr. Wonderful if we had the if this was the Shark Tank.
Maybe.
Did you say the Cardinals are an up-and-coming team?
Yes.
No, they're not.
He's just so dismissive of anybody's differing opinions.
Well, Carson Palmer is not that good, and he's not going to be around
that
long.
That's just the way he is. I just brush it off. It's one of these things, Paul.
Washington at Atlanta.
What he's doing?
You. Washington by. I'm sorry, Atlanta by 6.
You know what? I actually kind of like the Redskins with Cousins, but I'm going to take the Falcons. I'm going to get burned
by
this
pick. You
want to
take the points?
No, I will keep it close.
Well, we'll fill those in later, Paul. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, Sunday, 8:30.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Never mind. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, I'm sorry, by 3.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh by 3. I'll take Cincinnati. You know, they're playing to finish out this season and get to where they're supposed to be, a Super Bowl contender.
They should.
I don't trust Marvin Lewis, Fred. Right. I know what you're insinuating.
They should.
I hate Marvin Lewis. I don't trust him, but I got to go with that thought process.
But I'm not going to trust them. I think Pittsburgh will win the game.
Mm.
Let me see your card, Andy. That looks
funny.
I'll
take the Bengals.
No, this is Fred.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bengals as well, but
they're all funny.
Not with a lot of enthusiasm. Monday night, Baltimore at Detroit. Huge game for both teams.
Baltimore at Detroit.
Detroit by 6.
Wow.
The Ravens season on the line, right?
What do they know? I would think it'd be a little bit tighter spread than 6.
Okay.
I will take the I'm going to take the Ravens.
Yeah.
Lions not mature enough. I don't trust them.
I don't either.
Ravens, little run here.
But
plus, I want them to win, so it sets up next week.
I don't trust them, but I'm going to get burned again. I'll take the Lions.
Tough one.
I know.
Tough one.
Do it to me every week.
I'll take the Lions, too.
I'm going to take the Ravens.
A split decision.
Ravens. Yep. But you know what? I'll take those points. Oh, no. You said Detroit's favorite? Forget it. So
you fought with them about it. And then
Ravens. All right.
What do they know?
Now
more
we go back to Sunday at 1. New England at
How
Miami.
How to count.
New England at Miami.
Patriots by 2.5.
Two and a hay. I am torn on this. I am very much torn on
this.
I think it's a tough spot.
Yep.
I think there is emotion at play here. I think there is the trip to Miami, which is always tough.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is the fact that the Dolphins are a solid football team that gave you trouble the first time you were down 17-3, digging holes. Their defense, they have the edge rushers, Vernon, Solder's banged up, the offensive line. But something tells me
they get it done.
As Paul Perillo once told me, it always works out for Brady and Belichick. And if this doesn't work out, then they're going down the road of this season kind of petering out here. So I'm going to say that somehow, some way, they're going to get the job done.
I agree. If they lose this game, the season is petering out.
If they will lose next week in Baltimore.
I think
they
he's will absolutely
lose
right.
the next two if they lose this one.
They could possibly miss the playoffs.
No, I know that's a possibility of them
missing
the playoffs.
If they lose to Miami, they're losing two in a row.
So you're picking the Patriots? Yes. You're picking the Patriots.
He is. And,
which means they won't lose two in a row.
As I am. But I totally could see that. If they do lose this one, that Baltimore, I think they will lose one of the next two. At least.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance they lose in Baltimore.
And I do, too.
That's
why. Which makes Week 17 important.
Big, big game.
I think the Monday night game is huge, too, for Baltimore. Because if they lose, then they might, you know, they might roll it over.
But I think New England will pull it out this weekend. I will say another three-point game. So they'll barely squeak out the cover. Paul.
Yeah, I am going to take the Patriots to win, but I am going to take the points because I believe that Steven Kostkowski is going to kick a field goal in the last play of the game for a 23-21 win.
He might be league MVP. Give it to him.
Mark Moseley.
Well, I know this is going to be a shock to everyone, but I am picking the Dolphins to win this game.
No. Wait, are you really?
Yes, I am. And
he just wanted to make sure it wasn't unanimous on this show.
But I am absolutely sure.
So if we pick
sure
the Dolphins, who would have picked the Patriots?
Because of that, the Patriots next week are going to go and beat Baltimore.
No. If you're right,
wow,
you just lost two games in a row.
This is the transition
game.
Those
are my favorite Andy-isms ever.
This is the
no, you're wrong.
This is the transition game where life without Gronk, they need to work some things out.
See, that's why I think they're going to win.
And then next week, they get it
then
together and
the
they poop beat Baltimore.
Hits the fan and they struggle.
You know, so I think the opposite. I think they lose this game,
five
they win
the
next
finale.
Week.
Wow. So, I never saw it coming.
I can just, if somehow Miami and Baltimore win out. That last game, that's unbelievable. When was the last time we had anything like that? 08?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not going to happen because they're going to beat Baltimore and everything's going to be okay.
All right.
Every little thing. So
it'll be all right.
Because the Patriots are stronger than we are.
Let's just take a moment here, though, to breathe this in. Fred picked the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm stunned. I really am.
Well, I said 12-4.
All right, now we're back to the idiotic logic of why he's picking the Dolphins.
This is the fourth loss.
So if Miami were completely dreadful 0-13.
No, but they're not.
Wait, so if they beat Miami, then you're going to pick Baltimore because you need a fourth loss.
No, then I'll say I was wrong.
Oh, now then you'll say you're wrong and the record's irrelevant, like it is now, which proving how idiotic your use of that is.
So,
but I'm the one who had to change my opinion of what I thought. He doesn't.
John Rooks here, the biggest Nick Saban fan on the planet. 10 years, $100 million.
Is that really
going to
happen?
Is that where your money's going?
Yeah, baby.
Is that really going to happen?
Are you excited?
I can't imagine that it's going to happen, but you never know.
Would you be happy?
I would be pleased that Texas wants to win, yes. As an alum, as a Texas ex, yeah. I'd be pleased that they really value.
And they're going to win. not only that they want to win.
They will.
You bring Saban in, you're going to win.
Yeah, exactly the point. So
your coach is an a-hole. Are you okay with that?
Just win, baby. I believe that's what Al Davis once said, didn't he? Yeah.
He's your a-hole, right?
That's
he's
right.
an a-hole, but he's our a-hole he's winning national titles in orange.
No question about it. No question about it. I'd be very excited about it. Very pumped.
It's going to happen.
If it does, I think it's great. If it does, I think it's a huge story. I think it's a huge national
story.
What about
$100 million?
That doesn't surprise me. That's just a blip on the radar screen for Texas.
Wow.
And Paul said
the
rumor
Texas
is...
What makes Texas the plum job for a coach?
You're asking the unbiased
guy. When they have donors...
This ought to be a balanced answer.
Wait, hold on.
No.
Fred, I'm going to answer that question very simply.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Austin?
No.
Then there you go.
You haven't been to that Geek Fest?
No.
I thought there was that big Geek Fest.
Yeah,
there.
I've never been there.
Go to Austin, Texas.
You know that? What is it? SC4
Go look at the campus. Go consider the facilities that they have there. Go experience the weather for most of the year.
Right.
The women.
That's also what he said. So, and just kind of
put
it all together.
Yeah.
And I think you'd see that, wow, this is a plum job. Plus, you have the support of the university, the president, the boosters. I mean, and like I said, this is an athletic department that generated more revenue than any other collegiate program in the country last year at $163 million.
Mm. Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
All right. Well, John Rook's here for the playbook. He'll take you into 4 o'clock, and then the footballnation.com guys will take over it from there. So, John, have a good show.
Thank you, Fred.
And we'll see you next Tuesday. Pre-game social on Sunday morning.
Yep.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.